If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Good morning.
Now you guys make, different, I guess you put a DVD in?
You need to stop it, and you need to stop it right now.
That's the way it is? Then I just hate you, and I hate your ass face.
Now, you're a guy who, I don't know your name.
LA radio station K-Rock's host, Kevin and Bean.
I'd rather be stuck in an elevator with Nathan Lane, Gilbert Gottfried, Carrot Top. Sean Hayes, or you get the picture.
This is the city, Los Angeles, California.
Hollywood, can you handle this?
Come on, you can't be serious. She's an Oriental, for Christ's sake.
I'm sorry I did that. I'm embarrassed that I did that. I did a bad thing.
And now,
let's do this right so we can all go home and do the wife or the girlfriend thing, all right? Let's suit up, ladies. Time to punch in.
Our feature presentation.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. Good morning, everybody. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:31 on Wednesday, the 25th of April, Ingus.
What's up, party people?
How much?
How about them Lakers, huh?
On fire. How about them Lakers?
On fire.
Couldn't look any better.
Wow.
I think you should pay Dave $90 now.
Just because of last night's
performance.
Yes. I should end up having to pay him.
I think the Lakers should have subbed with the Clippers. They couldn't have done any worse.
Lakers!
Yeah. Lisa, you probably didn't see the game or hear much about it, but they lost by almost 30.
Ooh. I was sensing irony.
Yeah. Suns are one of those teams that when they're on a roll, they're amazing. And they were on a roll. And
yeah.
It turns out the Lakers, I don't think the Lakers have ever been on a roll like that this season. Like, on a roll where everybody has everything going on.
Yeah.
Right.
So, that didn't work out so well.
Well, I think they'll probably just forfeit the rest of round one. I don't think they'll bother playing them at this point.
Dude, they're going to play at home. How dare you? They're going to pick up two here.
Oh, is that what's going to happen? Okay.
Yes.
I'll take that bet.
Man, you Well, as long as the Suns help us out a little bit by not playing quite as well, that'll be fine. I mean, I think it'll work. Yeah,
that was good times.
No, not really.
I mean, that was bad. Yeah, it was no good.
Bad times. I was playing poker last night. My whole night was bad. You know, I play poker about every other night.
Every other week,
I mean. And it was last night, and we started at the beginning of the game. And you can rebuy if you run out. So I'm just going to tell you this to tell you how my night was. Last night, we started at the beginning of the Laker game, and it was on over in the corner so we could watch it.
Right.
And with 7 minutes and 12 seconds to go in the first quarter, I was in my car on my way home.
Oh, no.
Oh. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. No, I wish I was.
Did someone get really brave really early?
Well,
I mean, if you play conservatively, that shouldn't happen,
yeah,
right?
But I never play conservatively. But the thing is that this group is, for those of you that don't play Texas Hold'em, you get two cards down, and then you get like five cards up throughout the course of the game.
And you all share those cards, right?
Yeah. But there were, after the two cards down, there were people all in.
Oh.
After two cards.
Wow.
They haven't even seen any of the up yet.
Yeah, so that game was too rich for your blood.
So I thought, well, my cards are, you know, I have a possible straight flush. I have a 10 and a jack of spades. F you, I'm going all in. And then I got nothing, so I was left with a 10 and 11. And then I lost that. So then I rebought, and then I got another $3,000 worth of chips. You don't have to pay $3,000,
right,
but you get $3,000 worth. That's what we do. We generally just translate it into like 50 times what we actually spend. And so then I was all in again, and then I lost that. And then another guy was on the phone, so they said you could buy his chips. He had like $4,000 worth of chips, so I bought in one last time. Two more hands, gone.
Dude. I
was sitting on the couch watching the Lakers going, wow, we're getting killed. 7 minutes, 12 seconds, first quarter. I guess I could go home. I don't have any more money. So I left.
You were in bed by 8:30.
I was. That was so ugly.
That's just sad.
No one's ever lost faster. No one.
No kidding. Wow.
And the Lakers got destroyed. That didn't help.
Aww.
Lisa was telling us a story about how she woke up this morning reevaluating her life, wondering if she has time in her remaining years to do anything to be worthwhile.
What does that mean?
I went to a party with a friend. She got a new agent, and So I didn't know anybody at this party. And everybody there was just this crazy overachiever. Like the woman that threw the party, her dad practically ended apartheid all by himself.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
I never really got the story. Yeah. And she's done everything. She's had a couple of kids. She raised them in Africa for a while. Now she's here. She manages bands. She manages actors. La, 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 la. And just everybody. Another woman told me how she they're all really nice. But I mean, this other woman told me how she just weeps every day because her life is so full and just so transformed.
Wait a minute. She weeps of joy?
Yes, tears of joy.
Did you tell her to shut up?
You can't because they're so genuine.
Nobody's genuine that says they weep tears of joy every day because their life is so full.
I left. My head was this dry. I was like, my little gray sad life.
That's just somebody.
I live in a little box and I'll never get out.
Spend a lot of time with people you don't know, don't like. That's just...
Lisa May. It's Gene Simmons.
No, Gene.
I'd like to live in a little box.
Oh, Gene. It was just, you know, they're great and really nice, and I just felt like crap.
Oh, God, I hate that.
I do, too.
But by the way, I'm different than you. I don't believe that for a second.
Really?
No one cries.
You don't think they're that happy?
No, nobody
is. I'm telling you.
Nobody is.
They're that happy.
No, they're not.
And I mean, part of it is they all go to this church, this big church, so that's part of it. So they're all like, you know...
Maybe they're really happy at the time and exaggerate how happy they are all the time.
Trying to impress me, that's for sure.
Nobody on this planet is that happy all the time.
Yeah, at least it was gum on the bottom of a shoe. They didn't have to try to, you know, pull it out for her. But there are people who are consumed with how blessed they are. There are people like that. I do know that is true.
Yeah, but I agree. But they go through bad times just as well as everybody else. I mean, just as much as everybody else.
I guess, but this wasn't
one
of them.
To me, anybody that is mouthing off about how happy they are, to me, that's a red flag.
But she wasn't doing it in that way. We were just talking, and then
somebody's very cynical here this morning.
Dude, I'm cynical because I don't believe somebody's that happy all the time. No.
I'm saying Lisa met these people and you didn't, and it sounds like you can't believe it's even possible that they were sincere in what they were saying.
I gotta tell you, they weren't bragging. They were just being them, and I was asking them about that. I didn't know any of these people, and nobody was really bragging or being obnoxious
Do you guys ever get depressed?
No.
Ever have a hard time? Has anything bad ever happened to you?
No.
I don't think her goal was to burst their bubble, though. I mean, I think she was just being an observer. Then she went home and... you know, worked on her puppy's anal glands. That's what she did with her knife.
Well, I can see how you're depressed at
crawled into bed under the covers and...
crawled into bread?
Bread.
Well, and wept.
No, I
often do crawl into bread when I'm upset.
I just don't believe anybody's that happy.
Well,
those
I'm
people
telling you they were happy. They were really, really happy. I hate them all.
Oh, yeah, you're happy? Well, here's how happy I am.
Exactly.
Oh, stuff happens good to you, it happens even better to me. Yeah, I am a little bitter, Bean, because...
Let go!
Aww.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
I wasn't weeping tears of joy last night.
You are not blessed.
3-minute poker night.
You are so not blessed.
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
Okay.
We have J.S.G. Garrett on the show today. Of course, the goal for the Ducks. They are round two of the playoffs against Vancouver. And we're going to talk to him. We also have, at a different time this morning, tickets for you to go to Friday night's game.
Oh,
that's,
wow.
Round two with Vancouver. So
that's very cool.
Playoff hockey is awesome. It's really, really fun.
It is.
So we're going to give you those tickets also later on this morning. Speaking of the Lakers bet and Dave the King of Mexico, who I should pay after last night's game. He owes me 90 credits, and he wasted his money that he was going to pay me with on his vacation on booze and chicks, which isn't really a waste. But I have to have the money by Friday at 10, according to the rules of the bets, or I have to break his legs. I don't want to.
Have you ever broken anyone's legs? Kevin.
Lisa has.
Has she?
Lisa has.
Really?
What are you talking about?
That's what you have to do to get your brown belt.
With the karate?
Yeah.
Oh, that. But that's completely different.
Sure.
That was chocolate bars.
Shut up. You have to run out on the street and they have a video camera and they just say, go break someone's leg.
Yeah, your sensei picks the guy out. Okay. You don't even know the guy. It sucks.
Right. So we're going to talk to Dave the King of Mexico as he tries to earn money. He's going to try and raise some credits so that he can pay by Friday at 10.
Excellent.
And our fine K-Rock listeners have offered to pay him.
To help him out.
Yes, to employ him.
Okay.
So he's going to be on the road today, and he's going to be stopping at different K-Rock listeners' houses, homes, and taking care of business.
Dave certainly isn't a motivated enough guy, Lisa, to have gone to your party last night. I'll tell you. Dave's a guy who's just barely hanging on, doing the least work possible for this job. And then when he's in debt and has somebody breathing down his neck, threatening to break his legs, still doesn't even think, man, maybe I should try to raise some money this week. Just as willing to just let life pass on by.
This wasn't his idea. This was our idea, because I don't want to break his legs. So we said, why don't we let the listeners blah, blah, blah. And Dave said, okay.
He's not taking care of business, by the way.
He is. Wait and see.
They'll be lucky to get an hour's work out of him.
Well, that's true.
They're going to have to wake him up like 10 times.
You wait.
The poor guy can't help it. He's Mexican.
Oh, come on. Stop that. Also, Matt Dunphy, the creator of the 9inchnailshotline.com website. I don't know if you've heard what's been going on with this 9 Inch Nails CD, The Year Zero. But there's people being blindfolded. There's kidnappings going on. There's all kinds of weird leaving a DVD out in the sun, and you get a code, and you have to go down to the border of Mexico and throw it across the border. And as long as somebody catches it, I don't know what the hell's going on with this.
Oh, my God.
It's really kind of nutty.
I don't either. And they claim, Trent Reznor himself says, it's not, this isn't for promotional reasons that they're doing all this. They're saying it's just part of a multimedia experience. It's just the experience of his Year Zero vision goes far beyond the music that is heard on the CD. Everything else contributes to it's kind of like these people who, you know, they watch Lost, say, and then there's a whole other world off the television of people on websites and things like that. That's what he's doing with this album. And I can't begin to understand any of it. So I'm hoping this guy can kind of clue us in on what we're missing.
I tend to draw the line just below getting blindfolded. That, to me, that's a, I don't know. Or just above, I should say. Also on today's show, we have Liam Sullivan's music. The music of Liam Sullivan.
He's the best.
The greatest music in the world. That's coming up just after 6. He does a show called song called Shoes, which is fantastic. And he does a song called Tops, which is even better.
Yeah, that one I haven't heard yet. I'm looking forward to hearing some
Is that
some
the
new stuff.
One we heard
yes,
on the way to Big Bear? Oh, my God.
Yes, it is.
It was awesome.
Yeah. Lisa and I were listening to the radio. We were just like, what? Oh, my God. This is the best thing ever.
We have
ever.
To have this.
So we tracked it down, tried to figure out who it was. LaQuisha's on the program today. There was the season finale of the next Pussycat Dolls.
Somebody, I think Sanjaya won, I think.
Somebody apparently got to wear the boa. How
yes,
do they do that?
They get yes? the boa. They get the boa. To keep their boa.
Okay. So that's coming up this morning as well. We're going to talk to Money about the Lakers. And we got Coachella tickets. Coming up all throughout the show, and in the 7 o'clock hour, we'll give you a chance to earn them.
Okay.
With a new game, and you know how well new games go. So that's all coming up this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph is next with the Showbiz Beat. Oh, okay. So if it was still on, I would hear it?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 551.
Ralph, when do we get to vote on somebody leaving the show? When does that happen?
Doesn't
it seems
happen.
Like all these shows, American Idol, Dancing with the Stars, they have a vote, and then somebody leaves. How come we're stuck with the same people all the time?
When can we put somebody's torch out on the island, you know?
Take their boa away. Come on.
Would you guys bring in Sanjaya?
In a heartbeat.
I think at this point we would, if you could read a timer, we'd bring in Sanjaya. It's 5:51 on the Kevin and Bean Show. It's Wednesday morning. We'll introduce you to perhaps the most exciting new musical sensation maybe of the last 50 years, and I don't think I'm overstating that, coming up just after 6 o'clock. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat. Good morning, Ralph.
I don't think you're overstating that at all.
No, I don't think so.
Years. No.
Well, since the what in the butt guy. This is probably the best guy since him.
Fair enough. Speaking of reality shows voting people off, old one leg got the boot last night. Heather Mills is off of Dancing with the Stars. Between her and John Ratzenberger. So John Ratzenberger can now tell his friends, I can dance better than a woman with one leg. How proud he must be.
How is John Ratzenberger still on that show? Isn't he awful, Lisa?
Well, he's not.
Isn't that the word
good.
On him is that he's terrible?
What they say every week is that he makes up for his lack of dancing skills with his charm and his acting ability. He sells it.
And his 12 years on one of sitcom's most popular television
Absolutely.
Shows?
Absolutely.
I guess.
It doesn't hurt.
Doesn't hurt to be a fan favorite, that's for sure. Also in the world of reality television, Star Magazine is reporting, this is a pretty great story, that Sanjaya has been asked to perform a duet by Britney Spears.
Oh, dear
no.
God. Really?
Britney started watching the show in rehab, they claim, and became a huge Sanjaya fan.
Yay!
She says she knows he's hungry to be a star, and the duet would be perfect for both of them, to bring her back into the limelight and to give him his shot at celebrity and stardom.
Please make it be so.
That would be the greatest duet ever in the history of man.
There was a time when she was a big enough star to do duets with people like, oh, I don't know, Madonna.
Yeah, well.
Al Sinjaya.
Those days are gone.
Yeah, way gone.
Another day, another member of Young Hollywood in rehab. Ooh. This time it's Jonathan Rhys-Meyers, star of The Tudors over there on Showtime.
Wow.
One of my favorite shows this new fall season. It's not fall, actually, new spring season, I guess they say. People Magazine reports that he's gone into treatment for alcoholism, which is a bummer because he's a really very talented actor, and I hope he can get his act together. Unlike a lot of people going to rehab, which I don't care if they drink themselves to death or not, I would actually miss this guy if he wasn't performing. So wish him the best. Here's an interesting story. Anderson Cooper is afraid of Psycho Mike.
Really?
Or men like him.
Hey.
Apparently, gossip columnist Janet Charlton is saying that the CNN host keeps his shorts on when he showers after working out at the gym because he's afraid of unauthorized cell phone pictures hitting the internet.
Mike.
Yeah.
Really?
So guys like Psycho Mike go around staring at other guys' junk in the gym makes Anderson uncomfortable. So he wears boxer briefs into the shower so that no one will snap a photo of his unit and then post it on the internet. Things you have to do when you're famous.
Yeah, it is worse than ever for celebrities when there's cameras everywhere now.
That's funny.
The Psycho Mike can't come up and say, dude, is that real or is that paper mache?
Which he has done before, by the way.
Actual quote from an actual Psycho Mike encounter with
a man. I sure wish you were
making
up those words.
Yeah.
Mike, how often do you go down to the gym, not even to work out, but just to shower?
Four, five times a day?
Yeah.
Yeah, but these guys are really super gay.
Nope, just Mike. Only Mike.
More confirmation of the fact that Justin Timberlake is dating Jessica Biel. According to Star Magazine, the couple's been seen all over the place, kissing and canoodling. Meanwhile, Justin's been working his butt off on the new Madonna record. They are co-writing some songs and recording some duets, working 16-hour days, but he still has time to fit in some Jessica Biel time, wouldn't you?
Oh, sure.
No, I would. I mean, Justin Timberlake's doing duets with Madonna. Britney Spears wants to do duets with Sanjaya.
I'll
give you some
perspective
on their relationships. And it wasn't bad enough that Captain America died in the comic books. Now he's been arrested for fondling a woman with a burrito.
It's one of my favorite stories.
Yeah, a doctor in Florida is facing charges after being accused of groping a woman while wearing his Captain America costume with a burrito stuffed down his pants.
A burrito. Not a sock or anything else that lasts,
burrito.
Maybe? A burrito.
Why did the guy have a Captain America costume?
Well, apparently the 54-year-old doctor, Raymond Adamic, was on a pub crawl with some other doctors, and they all had to dress as cartoon and comic book characters.
Okay.
So they're going from pub to pub down there in Florida, dressed up as superheroes and cartoon characters. And Captain America got loaded and asked the woman if she wanted to grab his burrito. She said no, so he takes the burrito out and starts fondling her with it, and then started groping her. Police showed up. Unfortunately, there were several Captain Americas in the bar at the time, so they had to bring them all outside for a lineup to get identification on which one was out of control with the burrito.
I want to live in Florida. Those people know how to party. Now, this guy was a doctor.
Yeah.
Wow.
54-year-old doctor dressed as Captain America drunk in a bar.
Awesome.
I hope to be just like that man someday.
He apparently walked into the bar and said,
did somebody order Mexican?
See, because he had a burrito.
Ah, I get it.
That's a good one.
Yeah, that is a good one. This may be the greatest story ever. You guys are familiar with the very popular British paranormal show Most Haunted?
No.
I have not seen that, no.
This is a smash hit over in England. It's a series of paranormal investigators who go into haunted homes, and they investigate paranormal occurrences. Well, a special episode of the show is being prepared that will reunite the cast of the A-Team.
Oh, yes.
Dirk Benedict, Mr. T, and Dwight Schultz have reportedly agreed to do a special edition of Most Haunted where they will try to contact their deceased co-star, George Peppard.
Yes.
They're going to hold a seance and try to raise old... What was his name on the show? Anybody remember? George Peppard. George Peppard. He was the leader, the
captain
chief.
Dude.
Was it Murdoch?
No, that was Mad Dog. Oh, it's right on the tip of my tongue.
It's going to be in your email box.
I know. You had B.A. Baracus, you had Mad Dog Murdoch, you had Face Templeton, and the leader of the team was called?
Let's play a little music while you think.
In 2005, a group of local misfits won a costume contest at an 80s TV convention. These men promptly returned home and drank some beer. Today, they survive as soldiers of fortune. If you have a problem, if no one else can help, and if you can find them, maybe you can hire the A-Team.
Why was that show so good?
Oh, it was the best.
Hannibal.
That was his name.
Hannibal.
See, Mr. T saying that. And finally, some good news in the entertainment world. TMZ.com, our favorite entertainment news website, is claiming that today, Rosie O'Donnell will announce she's leaving The View.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Yes! Wow. She apparently will announce on this morning's show she's leaving the show. No word on where she'll wind up, but industry gossip has it that she may be doing her own show again. So we will be... We'll get a short reprieve from her from The View, but then we might be have her inflicted on us all over again with her own.
Is there any talk of her being forced out, or does she do this on purpose?
Well, apparently things have been rough over there for some time, and...
Because she's hideous and hateful?
It's mutual. They're unhappy with her, she's unhappy being there, and so they're just going to part
ways. And the ratings are through the roof since she came on the show, too.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's bad.
Which means that...
She saved them.
She's got her own shot at her own show, and someone's offering her a deal, so...
Yeah.
They say if it does happen, she might stay on for the remainder of this season anyway and then leave at the end. But she may be announcing it today. So.
She has got to look around sometime and go, hey, other people are talking. I can't talk if other people are talking.
Must be very that must just annoy her. For her. Yes. Much like it must be for you, Bean. Today's celebrity birthdays. Jason Lee. My Name is Earl.
Funny.
Funny, funny show. He's good on that, too. 37 years old today. Renee Zellweger. Talented actress, and Lisa, I'm sorry to hurt you like this.
What?
But rumor has it.
Yes.
She's dating John Krasinski from The Office.
Oh, no.
Yeah, apparently they're doing a movie together called Leatherheads with George Clooney.
Chipmunk Face
and John Krasinski from The Office are...
she really scores the guys.
She does.
Banging
it's
around
weird
together.
With that face.
I know you love him, but now she's got
it. Isn't it? She's just a big... Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you say, Ralph? She's got a great uniform, but... A bad helmet?
Bad helmet, yeah.
Exactly.
Helmet's all tore up. Actress Gina Torres from I Think I Love My Wife. She was also Anna Rodriguez, I think, on Alias. She was the bad
chick
on that.
Oh,
very
yeah.
Very stunning, attractive young lady.
It was good.
And it wasn't Rodriguez. It was something like that. Anna. Gonzalez. Anna.
Hannibal.
Anna Hannibal. That's it. She's 38 years old today. Eric Avery, bassist for Jane's Addiction, is 42 years old today. Hank Azaria, you know him probably best from the many voices he does on The Simpsons. He's 43. Talia Shire, Adrian Balboa, Rocky's wife, is 61 years old today. She's also very funny as the psychiatrist in those Geico caveman commercials. You ever see this commercial where the caveman's on the couch and she's the psychotherapist?
Usually skip past those.
She's like, why does it bother you so much that they say cavemen are stupid? Well, how would you feel? They said so easy an analyst could use it. Well, that wouldn't make any sense. Well, why? Because analysts are smart and cavemen are stupid? That's great. And lastly, my close pal, my good friend, a man I've spent many hours with, Mr. Al Pacino, film acting legend Al Pacino, turned 67 years
When's
old.
The last time you talked to him? Ralph, you call him this week? Or?
It wasn't this week.
Last week?
Last...
Month of April?
Last... Year? Yeah, I guess it would have to be last year.
Last year when you were on the set of the movie?
No.
Where were you then?
At the screening of the movie.
Ah. Okay. You were calling him?
Hey, Al, I'm sitting behind you.
Yips.
Al. Remember
Al,
me?
Ralph, remember?
Remember? I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
The Coachella Valley Board of Tourism presents another in an ongoing series. How to Survive the Coachella Valley Music and Arts Festival. Chapter 31, Bowels and Bladders. Going to the bathroom can be half the adventure while attending Coachella. Okay, three-quarters of the adventure. Maybe 91% of the adventure. Lines at the porta-potties can be quite long. In fact, last year, the end of one porta-potty line was actually discovered to be in the small seaside town of Pensauken, New Jersey. So, get in line early. Actually, get in line before you have to go. Get in line now, or glue your poopy hole shut. Enjoy the Coachella Valley Music and Art Festival. And as we say here at the Board of Tourism, try not to die.
I don't know that I'd go with that last suggestion.
I don't think so either. By the way, if you're going to Coachella, if you're lucky enough to already have your tickets for Coachella this weekend, or if you plan to win them today or tomorrow here on Q-Rock, you'd be happy to know that we have posted set times so you can know, you know, there's so many bands to keep track of, and you really have to be organized to see all the bands that you want to see. So it is posted at krock.com. There is a way for you to plan it out ahead of time before you go down there. Also on the program today, J.S. Jaguar from your Anaheim Ducks. We got tickets for the Ducks you can win today, and so much more, including LaQuisha reviewing last night's Pussycat Dolls later this hour on K-Rock.
First, maybe the best new music I've heard in a long time. This is from YouTube, of course, and it's been around for a little while. Lisa and I heard the second song on our way up to Big Bear when we did that. When was that broadcast? Maybe six weeks ago, maybe?
Maybe yeah. 2 months. I don't know about that.
Anyway, we were fascinated by it. We actually had to try and track down the song.
Yes. But,
the same guy, Liam Sullivan, does a couple of different songs that we'd like to play for you now. One is Shoes, and it's one of our favorite new songs. I mean, you got What in the Butt with Samwell.
Right.
That's great.
And then you got Wing, who's one of my favorites of all time.
Sure.
And then you got this guy, Liam Sullivan.
Now, he is an actor and a comedian, and he does a character for a lot of his songs named Kelly. He's doing a Valley Girl named Kelly, and that's how you find her on, him/her on iTunes, for instance. You can get all these songs on iTunes, but Kelly is the name on the record, and Shoes, I think, is the smash hit. I mean, this is the one that's got the kids talking.
Dude, that's because you haven't heard Tops.
Oh, okay.
Which also rules, but here's Shoes.
Shoes. Oh, my God. Shoes. Let's get some shoes. Let's get some shoes. These shoes rule. These shoes suck. These shoes rule. These shoes suck.
I think you have too many shoes.
Shut up.
I think you have too many shoes.
Shut up. Stupid boy. Let's party. These shoes are $300. Let's get them. this style runs small. I don't think you're gonna fit. I mean, your feet are kind of big. Oh, by the way, bitch.
F*** you! F*** you! F*** you! F*** you!
His songs tend to start happy and end angry.
Yeah, yeah. Don't get me wrong. I could see why someone would hate it. I can understand that.
How dare you?
You can also understand how if you hear that on the radio, you say, I have got to have that.
What yes. the hell is that?
Who is that? Genius.
Yeah. I saw that great article that assistant producer Alex found on Liam Sullivan, who's, you know, famous around the internet. Hundreds of thousands of people have seen his music. Hasn't been able to make a penny off of it yet, but a lot of people sure know who he is.
Dude. That sucks. Wait till you hear Tops. This is Tops. And this is, I think, the smash of all time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, good.
Mainly because of the ending. But the music, not incredibly different, but a fantastic song nonetheless.
Let me borrow that top. I want to borrow that top. Aren't we friends? Aren't we friends? So what's the problem? Let me borrow the top. Let me borrow that top. Don't be a bitch. I mean, that top. What are you saving it for? You're not even wearing it. You're not gonna wear it. Well, let me borrow it. I've already been to the mall. And it sucked. I've already been to heaven. After 5 minutes, I was like, let's go. Give me that top, bitch. Come on, bitch. Where are you going? Give me that top. Give me that top, bitch. You fat bitch. Yeah, I said you're fat. You're a fat bitch because you won't let me borrow that top. You. You. You with something hard and sandpapery. Bitch. You're not my friend.
Yes!
I do sense a theme in Kelly's music.
Somehow the end of it always ends up F-U. So Lisa and I are driving up to Big Bear, and the first thing we hear is, I've been to heaven, and I left after 5 minutes. And we were like, what is this? I don't know why Dave the King of Mexico is doing it. And we were like, what is this? And then we heard the thing that stuck with us, and this is how we tracked the song down.
You with something hard and sandpapery.
So we got, you know, to the group, and we were like, okay, here are the lyrics. Honestly, I'm not kidding. Here are the lyrics. F you with something hard and sandpapery.
We have to have this.
So I did a quick search, and we tracked down Liam. But that right there, Grammy material.
Oh, my God.
That's good stuff.
Yeah.
Grammy
good stuff.
Material.
Amazing.
It's fantastic. You can look it up on YouTube under what, Bean? Under
Kelly. Yeah, that's the character he's playing. His name Kelly. And iTunes, too, if you want to, God forbid, you want to buy him.
Oh, who doesn't want to buy that? That's spectacular.
I didn't see it last night, but
that's
the wrong button right there. I did not see it last night, but I know that Pussycat Dolls is no more. I know that I missed my chance to watch the series that LaQuisha's been talking about for all these weeks. Last night was the finale. We welcome LaQuisha back to the Kevin Bean Sean K-Rock. Hey, LaQuisha.
Holler at your girlfriend. How did you miss the show last night?
I never got on board, LaQuisha, and I just kind of keep up through your reviews, actually.
You missed a good damn show. You gotta love a show that starts in episode one with young, pretty girls throwing up and ends with a cat fight.
Oh, nice.
Last night was a great episode after the exit of Melissa S. last week when she had to give up her boa.
Mm-hmm.
There's only three left in the final episode until we find out who the next Pussycat Doll gonna be. Let's ask Mark McGrath to catch us up.
Now it's down to three, but only one will be named the newest member of the hottest girl group in America. The chart-topping, hit-making machine, the Pussycat Dolls.
Okay. Dear God. The one thing I'm glad is I won't have to hear the Pussycat Dolls called a hit-making machine anymore. Because they had like two or three songs that people bought, and that's it.
Yeah.
So let's relax with the Pussycat Dolls, shall we? There are three girls left, and here's a little background in case you forget. It's Asia, Chelsea, and Melissa R.
Will it be Asia, the super confident single mom with the drive to try and take home the top prize for the daughter she left behind?
Yes, the one who abandoned her child is still one of the competitors. She left her one-year-old at home in order to pursue her dream of being a professional whore.
Well, LaQuisha, mm-hmm. I mean, her daughter is one.
It's not an important age
right.
to spend time with your child.
Right.
Then there's Chelsea.
Will it be Chelsea? Chelsea arrived with a golden voice and a desire to reinvent herself after a lonely childhood filled with fat jokes.
Filled with fat jokes.
Oh, man.
Why Mark McGrath gotta be so mean to everybody?
Is this the one who lost like 80 pounds or something at some point in her life?
She used to be a giant fat girl, and then she lost all the weight, and now she wants to show her bony ass off in the Pussycat Doll review show.
Would you say she was hot and now she's all that? Damn. Would you say she was fat and now all that?
That'd be horrible. No one would say that.
I take two.
Yeah. What would you want to say?
Would you say she's fat? God damn it. Would you say she used to be fat, now she's all that? It's been a while.
Psycho Mike, I'm going to need that tape for the moment.
Wait a minute.
With Kevin.
LaQuisha can call for moments with?
Absolutely.
I got you, LaQuisha.
Thank you.
And then, she used to be fat and shoulder. And now, Melissa R. still in the competition.
Or will it be Melissa R.? Melissa left home for the first time to compete despite disapproving parents who wanted her to follow in their footsteps and go to medical school.
Those damn parents, wanting her to be a doctor and successful and do something to help the world instead of shaking her boobies in a bustier with the Pussycat Dolls. How cruel can parents be?
Is this a girl who every episode pretty much was like, I don't know what my parents are going to think about this. I'm scared.
Yeah, this is a little sexy. I didn't know it was going to be like this. I'm afraid of what they might think.
Okay.
Me looking all whorish. Well, as you know, in every episode, the girls get a special inspirational message from the Pussycat Dolls themselves on a video that they find there in the Pussycat House doll, the Pussycat Doll House where they're
living. Psycho Mike, I'm going to need that.
In just a few short days, one of you will become a hot Pussycat Doll like us. But now it's time to separate the girls from the Pussycat Dolls. Mamas, this is for you. Come on, dolls.
One, two, three,
PCD! What?
One, two, three, PCD! Put the cat
down!
PCD!
Wow.
I had a cousin of mine who overdosed on PCD one time,
really?
And it's funny.
Wow.
Very
I don't
sad.
Even want to hear that on television. Well, the show's about 15 minutes in, so it's time for Asia to start crying about the daughter that she left behind and isn't seeing anymore because she wants to be a whore.
Everything that I do is for my daughter. I'll be rehearsing and just an image would pop up of her in my head. You know, it's a good thing for me because it just keeps me going.
Well, that's all that matters, really, as long as you continue to rehearse. once you get a flash and memory of what your daughter used to look like before you left her.
I'm surprised she remembers her or thinks of it at all.
Now, everything she does for her daughter, except, of course, be there.
Right, except for be with her.
Yeah, that's too much to ask.
And if she becomes a pussycat doll, they're going to let her go home and raise her kid?
Well, no, she'll have to go on tour, you know, and travel around the world performing with the pussycat dolls. That's no place for a young child.
Oh, that's right.
Probably left home with grandma, I'm guessing. Well, I'll tell you something. These girls were all very tight during the competition, all living together. Oh, I love you. You're my best friend. I love you, too. Mm-mm. That's all gone now.
Uh-oh.
Now they're starting to turn on one another. And Asia, who happens to be an African-American young lady, she is getting picked on by the girls because she speaks in what we call in the neighborhood Ebonic.
Uh-oh.
Did I sound bad here?
Don't ask me. I think it's funny what?
I just think it's funny how she
ask.
Like,
it's not ask.
Oh, ask. You say Revy. That's Revy. It's very, very nice. Revy. That's funny.
Yeah, that's funny. If you say axe instead of ask and reverie instead of very, that's funny.
Reverie is what she says?
Reverie. That's very, very funny.
What is she, Scooby-Doo?
No.
Well, tensions start to flare, and around 3:30 in the morning, two of the girls decide it's a good time to start fighting. Melissa R. and Asia start going at it.
You need to go to anger management.
No, you need to freaking go to psychology and find out who the you are and stop being fake.
You have a kid who's at home. Go be with her.
Mind your business because you don't know what it's like to be a mother. You shut up right now.
Oh, no, you didn't.
Wow.
You did not tell me to go home and be with my daughter. How dare you say that? You need to go to psychology. That's what you need to do.
That's what I thought she said.
Get yourself all figured out. Asia's incensed that someone would dare say this to her.
She said, I need to go home and be with my daughter. I was like, you are so lucky we are in this competition, because if we were outside in the street, I would have been smacked you in the face.
You're a bitch, you know that?
Oh, please, you're a bitch! Yeah. You're a bitch!
You're a bitch, stupid.
Oh!
Whoa.
She trumped her with the stupid on the bitch. You're a bitch. No, you're a bitch. You're a bitch. You're a bitch. Stupid.
All that, all that was missing was infinity, and then they would have had it.
That double dare bit you. So... They're up for about an hour in the middle of the night screaming and yelling at each other. And the next day is the big competition to see who the next pussycat doll is. But they ain't got no sleep. And they're just looking rough and sounding rougher. And Robin Anton, who, in case I have to remind you, is the visionary who created the pussycat doll.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
She scolds these girls for not getting enough sleep and how they sound.
At this point, the stakes are so high, I just don't even think you guys realize. It's just like, it's not the best. I mean, you look like you got 2 hours sleep, and I can hear it in your vocals.
Yes, you don't have the lovely, velvety tones of Robin Anton.
Yeah, no kidding.
I can hear it in your voice. You don't even sound good. How many cigarettes is she smoking at one time, I wonder?
Good question.
You don't sound good. You can't sound
good. By the way, I'm not sure that the vocals are the most important part of the package to be a pussycat doll. You don't exactly have to be Christina Aguilera to be in that band.
How dare you cast aspersions on the hit-making machine that is the pussycat dolls? 1, 2, 3, PCD.
PCD.
Well, I tell you, things get tense now because the girl's about to perform, and you got to wonder who has the advantage in this competition. Who's more than likely to actually go on to become a pussycat doll? So we turn to Chelsea, one of the competitors, to get the inside information.
I could win, Les could win, Asia could win. We don't know until we hear those words out of Robin's mouth.
Oh, so there are three people, and one of the three of you could win? Is that what you're telling me?
That's her understanding, yes.
I'm glad we got that insight. But Melissa R., she thinks she knows for sure who's going to win.
I'm going to win this competition because God put me here for a reason.
Okay, listen. Listen up now. Listen, I'm a God-fearing woman. I go to church every Sunday.
Right.
But if God is sitting there deciding who the next pussycat dog going to be, I am out. I am an atheist. I do not want God putting people on earth to become pussycat dogs.
You don't think he's got a direct hand in that?
I don't think that no reason for to put nobody on the planet Earth.
All right.
Let's see. You will cure hunger. You will cure cancer. You're going to be pussycat doc. That's what I put you down there for. Well, the girls all compete. They all sing their songs, and we get to the end. There's three girls left. Only one of them can be the next pussycat doll. But first, we got to see which one of the three, before we narrow it down, is going to go home.
Chelsea, you will not be the next pussycat doll.
What are you crying about, Robin Anton? You got a job.
Doesn't she cry every time she lets someone go?
Every damn time. If you love her so much, put her in your damn band, put her in too. No saying you can't do that.
She might as well have been saying, go get fat again.
Well, that's what she's doing. You know, girlfriend said, okay, it's been fun. Thank you. Right to Baskin Robbins. Let me try all damn 31 flavors just in one big bowl. Just put them all in there. So it's down to Melissa, R, and Asia, the two girls who were screaming and yelling at each other all night. So you know these two, there's no love lost between these two. Let's see who gets to take their feather boa and move on.
Asia. You are the next pussycat doll.
Well, Asia, she's going to be the next pussycat doll.
That's the mom of the one-year-old?
So if you know anybody who'd like a one-year-old African-American girl, I'm sure there's one available right now. You can pick up Cheek for adoption. Maybe Angelina Jolie need a new one, something. Yeah. This baby girl got no mama anymore.
Oh, no.
It's all over now.
Oh.
So now we know the Pussycat Dolls have added a 47th member.
Yeah, I don't even understand from the beginning of this show what they could possibly do with another member, because none of them do anything anyway.
Well, here's the thing, but you'll be happy to know they announced last night that they're already working on the second season of who's going to be the next Pussycat Doll.
Oh, no. You've got to be kidding me.
So they're going to be adding at least one more to the band. And I'm guessing it's going to be like Menudo. They'll start to push the old broads out and just replace them with 18-year-old single mothers. That's what I'm guessing. They're going to start a brand new Pussycat Doll chain, so we'll have hit-making machines for many, many years to come.
Wow.
Good idea. LaQuisha, you did a magnificent job following the series for us. Thanks a lot.
Bye now.
Thank you.
So basically what happened is Dave was on vacation last week when the National Basketball Association regular season ended. Owed Kevin a bunch of money, wasn't here to pay it up, then showed up on Monday morning, didn't have the cash anyway. So apparently he's in debt to you, and you're going to have to deal with him.
Well, I mean, his legs need to be broken by 10 o'clock Friday. I don't want to. So yesterday we took some calls from K-Rock listeners. They lined up some work for him. I also got some emails. I've got some work for Dave. I need somebody to drive out to the Salton Sea Thursday morning so I can get a first-come, first-serve campsite and set up camp for Coachella this weekend.
Oh, wow.
Wow, that's a great job.
Then there's I can take care of Dave's debt in one transaction. He can sell me his Rage tickets. And then there's why doesn't he just go out in front of a Home Depot and then somebody can pick him up?
K-Pizer! Looking for work? See? Trabajo?
Dave, good morning.
Good morning, guys. What's going on?
So, King, so you're not here answering the phones at K-Rock today because you're out trying to earn the 90 credits back that you owe Kevin by the end of the show Friday. That's the goal, right?
That is correct, yeah.
Now, let's bring listener Mike into the conversation. Good morning, Mike.
What's up?
You're nice enough to call in yesterday and invite Dave, the King of Mexico, over to do a little work.
Yep.
All right. What's he going to be doing today?
He's going to clean some of my bongs.
Clean his bongs. With his tongue, I hope, Mike.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Mike, how many, what kind of collection you got there? How many you got?
About 20.
Wow.
20 bongs. And so basically, you just move on to a new one every time it gets dirty.
Yeah, okay. Exactly.
All right.
Do you have various styles, or is there a great deal of difference between them?
Yeah, big, little, sideways.
Any number of things.
Yeah, lots of stuff.
Dave, have you seen his bong collection?
Oh, yeah. One of them scares me. It's as big as I am.
Cool. Just how dirty are the bongs?
Dude, you could barely see through the glass, and they're all clear.
Oh, that hurts.
Oh, wow.
Those are some bongs that are getting worked out.
Yeah, kidding. And by the way, if you had any question about that, just listen to Mike's interview technique and you can tell. Hey, Mike, what's involved in properly and carefully cleaning a bong? I mean, how is it done? Do you do it in the kitchen?
Salt and rubbing alcohol and just shake it up. You got to hit it with Q-tips, maybe a little sponge or something like that.
Okay, do you have everything that Dave needs to perform those acts?
Yeah, mostly. Most of the products to use.
Now, Mike, I do have to ask something, and that is, I know that you had mentioned that once they're clean, they can start being dirtied again.
Yeah. We're going to get those real dirty.
Dave, the King of Mexico, does have another stop today, and he already has problems with falling asleep.
Yeah, he's ready to take a nap over here.
So I'd like to suggest maybe you start dirtying them after you send him on his way.
That's a good idea.
Now, how much money is he going to get for this, Mike?
$20
Okay.
Oh, okay. So he owes you 90, Kevin. So this will take care of 20 if he successfully completes the task at Mike's house in Long Beach.
That's correct.
Okay. All right. Well, listen, Mike, thank you for contacting us. Good luck with the rest of your life. You'll need it. And get Dave to work on those bongs, all right?
All right, no problem, dude.
All right, Dave, get busy, man.
Hey, guys, I don't know how good I'm going to be because I'm getting a contact high already.
That's good.
Right now, Ralph Garman is here, and I suspect he's going to tell us interesting things about famous people in the Showbiz Beat.
I'll try, that's for sure. Last night on ABC's popular Dancing with the Stars show, John Ratzenberger and Heather Mills were in the bottom two after the voting had been done, and sad news, Heather Mills was cast out.
Aww. Like,
no, not yet.
No.
Ooh, I think people just don't like Heather Mills. That's the problem.
It's true.
They don't like what she did publicly when she said those things about Paul McCartney. They don't like the fact that she's trying to get so much money from him from the divorce.
Right.
I ain't saying she's a gold digger.
Right. Can you not finish that?
But she ain't dancing with both legs. Okay, it doesn't quite rhyme. But already ABC's getting complaints saying that she was voted out because she was handicapped. That is some sort of a prejudicial situation going on.
Yeah. Well, the reality is she was on the show because she was handicapped, not the other way around.
Apparently, there was a gentleman with no arms and no legs who was in a forest fire.
Uh-huh.
He was complaining. His name's Bernie. The gentleman with no arms and no legs was on a podium. Mike, he complained.
Sure.
ABC also got an angry email from a guy with no arms and no legs who sits on a spice rack named Herb.
Yeah.
There was a young lady with no arms and no legs caught between some sofa cushions. Penny. She was angry.
How many people with no arms and no legs are there in this country?
Oh, you'd be surprised.
Huh. And how do they write so many letters?
Well, they dictate them. A guy with no arms and no legs who was living on a tree branch named Leaf. He was up there. And finally, they got an angry phone call from a guy with no arms and no legs who lives in a safe until you die, named Will.
I'm sorry, he lives in a safe until you die?
Yeah, that's from Diane. I appreciate that one, Diane. It's a stretch, but I liked it.
Wow.
They are going to do an all-black revival of the legendary Tennessee Williams play Cat on a Hot Tin Roof on Broadway. Okay. According to the New York Post, Debbie Allen will be directing. Roles have already been cast with Felicia Rashad, who played, of course, Bill Cosby's wife on the popular Cosby Show.
Mm-hmm.
Anika Nani Rose, who was in Dreamgirls, very beautiful, talented actress.
Yeah.
Lou Gossett Jr. in talks to play Big Daddy in that show, Cat on a Hot Tin Roof. And as the role of Brick, the famous football-playing stud with questionable sexuality, LL Cool J.
Really?
Yes.
Huh. Cool, I don't know J what that's about, Ralph. What's that about?
Never saw Cat on a Hot Tin Roof?
No.
It's a story that takes place in the Old South, and there's a guy named Brick who was a very popular college football player, was planning going on to a pro career, but he injures himself, and he can't.
Okay.
And he's lost his best friend, who has since passed away, and he's having troubles with his wife, Maggie the Cat, because their sex life is non-existent.
Okay.
And she starts to realize that Brick had more than just a passing friendship relationship with his pal who has passed away.
Okay.
They all try to deal with that fact.
And they're on a hot tin roof?
She's a cat. Maggie's a cat, and she's so nervous, she looks like she's on a hot tin
she's
roof.
Very
she's like a cat on a hot tin roof.
Okay.
It was Paul Newman and Elizabeth Taylor in the big movie version of it years ago. So LL Cool J be playing a gay football player. Indeed. Here's a movie that I'm scared of, and it's not even made yet. Walt Disney has announced they're going into production of a movie called Old Dogs, starring Robin Williams and John Travolta.
Oh, no.
The comedy about two best friends whose life is turned upside down when they have to babysit a pair of 7-year-old twins. Just when you thought Wild Hogs was the as bad as it could get. Robin Williams and John Travolta in a comedy where the kids are just going to run them ragged.
Because they don't know how to deal with twins.
I'm telling you, Kevin, that they're going to be so confused. Their life was going to change so much. that they're going to be just, what? How do I do this?
Does Tim Allen play one of the twins?
No. The only saving grace is he's not in it. But Robin
Damon
Williams.
Damon Wayans is the twins, yeah.
Robin Williams and John Travolta doing a comedy about like daddy daycare, basically, with those two.
What is it, besides the paycheck, which they could probably get at any number of movies, what is it about a role like that that is attractive to actors like John Travolta and Robin Williams?
I mean, they don't know how to take care of twins.
See? I get that. But what's
they're going to be
like
fish out of water.
That's going to be fresh.
Yeah. Look, family movies are the last bastion of the failing comic career. That's what happens. When you're in the dumps, here's the solid way to make sure you get a marginal size hit is to do a family comedy. It's a tried and true method.
Wasn't this past RV with Robin Williams, wasn't that a huge hit?
Huge hit. Absolutely.
Huge hit. Yeah, that's true.
Steve Martin, all his kid movies, big hit. Tim Allen.
Sure.
They've all done it.
Look at Travolta. Wild Hogs, probably the biggest thing he's done in a long time.
Eddie Murphy with the Doolittle movies and Daddy Daycare. Yeah. Just depressing on so many levels. Top 10 TV shows last week. Well, as you can imagine.
American Idol.
American Idol number one.
American Idol.
American Idol number two.
American Idol.
Now, here's the thing. I'm all for American Idol success.
Yeah.
Because that just means my favorite show on television, House, third. It gets caught up in that jet stream right behind American Idol and just goes right to the top of the chart.
Because it's after American Idol.
Exactly.
On Tuesdays,
so it's got an amazing lead in. And
you see last night, Ralph?
Oh.
Little different for House. Well, they mixed it up a little bit.
So good.
Did somebody come in with a disease that they couldn't fix?
Yes.
yes, as a matter of fact.
Yes.
Yes.
And then they lost the patient.
Ooh.
Yeah.
How often does that happen?
Oh, hey, yeah, Mr. Smart Guy, now look at you.
That's a little different.
It is very different. Good episode last night. Grey's Anatomy was number four. Dancing with the Stars, number five. Dancing with the Stars, number six. Desperate Housewives, number seven. CSI Miami was number eight. Survivor Fiji, number nine. And 2.5 Men rounds out your top 10 most popular TV shows in America last week. Let's see, that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 scripted shows in the top 10, 5 reality shows.
Yeah.
TV in America, boys and girls.
John Cryer from 2.5 Men on the Kevin and Bean Show Friday morning, if you're a fan of that. You want to check on back.
Along with Mark Burnett.
Wow. Star-studded.
Tom Morello.
And Nicolas Cage.
Yeah. Is that our show we're talking about?
More of a Friday show protector. Today's celebrity birthdays, Al Pacino, my co-star from Two for the Money, 67 years old today.
I saw him in it.
Yeah, I was there.
Oh,
if you look past him,
you.
If you look behind him, that's where I was.
Okay.
He's also going to be starring in Ocean's 13. He plays the bad guy in this one.
That looks
Andy
great.
Garcia teams up with the Ocean Gang to rip off this dude. So it should be
looks
fun.
Fantastic.
Talia Shire, who is probably best known as playing Adrian in the Rocky movie. She's 61 years old today. Hank Azaria from The Simpsons is 43. Eric Avery of Jane's Addiction turns 42. Gina Torres from I Think I Love My Wife and from the popular TV series Alias. She's 38 years old today, as is Renee Zellweger, who is currently dating John Krasinski from The Office.
I don't, Bell.
They're one of Hollywood's new couple.
Bell?
She's lovely.
Did you Bell Renee?
Renee?
You
did.
Renee?
Can't Bell
no?
Renee.
Well,
no. You can take it back, Kevin?
She doesn't get the bell.
And Jason Lee from My Name is Earl and Almost Famous and many other feature films. Mallrats. Wasn't he Mallrats too? Kevin Smith? Big Kevin
yeah,
Smith.
Yeah, I believe so, yeah.
And Chasing Amy with Kevin Smith. Wasn't he in that too? Doesn't he play Affleck's buddy in that?
He played Amy?
I think so.
In that one.
He played Amy in that?
Yeah.
Dawson and Dogma.
Dogma. Oh, he's so good in the band. Yeah. 37 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show this beat.
So I'm looking at the USA Today newspaper the other day, and I'm reading about this Year Zero, this Nine Inch Nails Year Zero alternative reality game. Here's what it says. A labyrinth of cryptic websites littered with fragmented Orwellian rabbit holes and message boards humming with sleuths deciphering audio files, images, Morse code, static, phone calls, and T-shirts. And I thought to myself, I'm out, really. I'll just listen to you. I'm okay with really just putting on the record. But we thought, what's going on with this world that's just beneath the surface with Nine Inch Nails and their fans? So we got the creator of the NineInchNailsHotline.net, the NINHotline.net, Matt Dumphy, on the phone with us right now on the World Famous K-Rock. Hey, Matt, thanks for joining us, man.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
It's going great. So you run one of quite a few sites devoted to Trent Reznor and his music and his madness. And this Year Zero thing apparently is way bigger than the casual fan would even know, right?
Oh, it's ridiculous. Yeah, it's huge.
I got to tell you, I'm a big Nine Inch Nails fan. I left Psycho Mike's wedding to go to the show when they were here at Hollywood Bowl. But can you describe for us the T-shirt and the USB drive and all of that stuff?
Oh, yeah. It all started out, like, I think when they first started touring in Europe, at Portugal, somebody found a USB drive that had a song from the new album, which, of course, hadn't come out yet. One of the T-shirts had a bunch of letters highlighted, and it turned out that when you spell that out and go to the website, I'm trying to believe is what it's spelled out.
So then there's, wait a minute, let me just back up just a second. The USB drive was found in Lisbon, Portugal, in a bathroom.
Yeah. There's really something kind of goofy about the whole idea of finding a leak in the bathroom. But
so they found the leak in the bathroom, and then they put it online, and that song started going. Then the T-shirt led to a website.
Yeah, and within that website, there were links to other websites. Somebody found another T-shirt had highlighted letters, which was a phone number, which when you called that, it had a pre-recorded message with a little bit of dialogue from this whole concept of this alternate world. And
how did Trent know that people were going to come across the USB thing in the bathroom, for example, were Nine Inch Nails fans? How many T-shirts did he put out there with the phone number on it before? I mean, that seems impossible.
Nine Inch Nails fans are kind of crazy.
Well, I know that, but how do you know you're going to get one just because they're walking in a bathroom in Lisbon?
From what we learned through later concerts, they put a number of them out in different bathrooms, and I guess they just kind of hoped that somebody would find one who would actually go online and put this online.
Tell us about the spectrographic analysis of one of the songs.
Oh, yeah. On the end of one of the tracks that was found on another USB drive later, somebody ran it through a spectrograph analysis, which basically shows you a kind of a picture representing what frequencies are in the song, etc. And it turns out at the end of it, there's this noise that otherwise just kind of sounds like noise. When you run it through the spectrograph analysis program, you can see the hand of the presence, which is one of these, you know, key items in this dystopian future that they've got going on.
Now, here's my question for you. When when you find the song, who runs it through a spectrographic analysis and why?
People have been doing this sort of stuff to Nine Inch Nails songs for a long time just because, you know, we're nuts.
Yeah,
you look for the littlest things. There's so many layers in the music as it is, and it's kind of funny that now they're kind of playing up to that. You know, they're embedding Morse code. There's all kinds of things that people still are finding. One of the songs, if you invert the phase, the whole song actually dies out, and you can hear, I guess it was Red Horse Vector or something like that, which turned out to be yet another website.
Red Horse Vector.
Okay.
What about leaving the CD out in the sun?
Oh, yeah. Well, the CD, it's kind of...
Listen
neat.
To Matt. Oh, yeah. Well, oh, that. Yeah, sure. Well, Matt, that's obvious. Yeah, of course.
That's old Matt. Tell us about it.
Not so much if it's in the sun, but if you play the disc... in, you know, a front-loading CD player or your laptop, the heat from the player actually changes the color of the disc. It starts out black, and then, you know, you play the album through, you eject it, the CD comes out white with a bunch of letters on it. And,
Matt, I have so many questions for you, and you sound like a bright young man, and I'm trying to figure out how to ask this. So Year Zero is a concept album, basically, that Trent Reznor has. It's his vision. I think the word you used was dystopian, of a very, very sad place that we will all live in 2022. And all of these things that you've described in unusual ways that people have found, these are all parts of the story. I mean, is there an end game if somebody is able to assemble all of the clues? Do they learn something? Do they win $1 million? What happens after you go on this scavenger hunt?
You know, that is to be determined at this point. I'm sure they're leading up to something. I know, well, one thing that people in L.A. got to experience as a result of following this.
Yeah, tell us about last week. That was bizarre.
Yeah. There's a site, opensourceresistance.net, where you can go and upload your own artwork and videos and stuff. And people who signed up for the mailing list there got an email saying, hey, we've got a new billboard in L.A. Go check it out. You know, wait around on one of these days, I guess it was April the 13th, and somebody in a van will pull up. You know, identify yourself.
Okay, now wait. At that point, I'm out. Right. Somebody in a van will pull up. All right, go ahead.
Yeah, so anyway, a bunch of people showed up under this billboard, and then at April 13th, sure enough, somebody pulls up with a van and starts giving out these ammunition boxes filled with flyers, stencils, buttons, and stickers. And some of them actually had cell phones in them.
Okay.
And with the phones, it said, hey, if you're 18 or over, you'll be in L.A. on Wednesday. You know, hold on to this phone. Otherwise, if you're not, you know, give it to somebody else. Sure enough, a couple days later, they get calls on this phone. And they say, hey, you know, meet at this other spot and make sure to identify who you are, et cetera, et cetera. And so they follow up and they go to this meeting. And sure enough, you know, people show up. They've got a bus there. They strip people of their electronic possessions. They load them up into this bus, make them sign a waiver. And they take them off to this warehouse.
Okay, now tell us about the blindfold. Did they blindfold them?
They didn't blindfold
them. Oh, I heard that they did. I heard they blindfolded everybody on the bus. I was like, okay, I'm out. I love Nine Inch Nails. Yeah. I'm not going to get blindfolded.
Yeah, because you're going to end up in Mexico with your kidney missing in a bathtub full of ice. I mean, that's the fear. So, because we're almost out of time here, Matt, so they take them to a super secret location and there is a Nine Inch Nails concert? Is that what it ended up being all about?
Yeah, it starts out being kind of scary. You know, the guy's like, you know, you shouldn't have done this. You're all stupid. We could kill you right now. Nobody know who you are, where you are. But in the end, yeah, it ends up being a private concert for these 50 people in a warehouse. Nine Inch Nails plays a set. And then halfway through the set, SWAT team busts in. Bust the raid. You can see one of the guys take out Aaron North, the guitarist, in a video that they posted on opensourceresistance.net.
And they're like shooting and stuff, and everybody's freaking out and fleeing, right?
There's firecrackers, there's the lights go out, it's like chaos. And yeah, scare the crap out of everybody.
Sure, sure. Let me ask you this. I mean, yeah, the way you've described it, I mean, if you go through, you know, jump through all those hoops and end up getting a free show for Nine Inch Nails, yeah, it's worth your time. But for most people who are just kind of playing along passively at home on the internet, is it huge fun for them? Or can you imagine that it would just be kind of frustrating and eventually you just peter out and you feel like it's a big fat waste of time? I mean, it just doesn't seem like there's a lot of payoffs for most people who follow the clues.
Well, I would almost say it's half and half. You've got the casual listener, viewer, who kind of peeks into sites like mine and other sites like wiki.com to see what's going on. And then you've got, you know, the people who are, you know, into deciphering this stuff and finding this stuff. And it's almost like a video game. It's just keeping your mind busy.
I'm going to say if they weren't deciphering all this stuff, what would they be doing really?
Well,
yeah.
Nothing. I mean,
maybe that's it. All right, let me ask you one more question, and I'll give out Matt's website address here at the end of the call so people can check it out. How has this – I know Trent has said in the few interviews he's done about this album that this is not about marketing. This is just about a total experience. The music is part of it. But do you think that this has all been successful in terms of the promotion for the new album? I mean, has it been a big seller for him?
Oh, yeah. As far as reaching out to new people, it's been tremendous because I know one of the big websites, dig.com.
I like that website.
I think, like, half of their music links are to Nine Inch Nails stuff because people are so fascinated by this whole, you know, this thing that they're doing. I'd say it's been...
It's
I know
been successful.
Our traffic
yeah.
has been huge. Yeah.
Well, I mean, he essentially gave away the music. I mean, that's one of the odd things about this whole idea is that he posted the songs for free, basically, on his website, figuring that that's not the important part anymore. I mean, that's just a piece of the puzzle. So it's really interesting. All right, let me spell it out for folks who want to check out what Matt Dumphy is up to. It is theninhotline.net. Theninhotline.net is the site for all your Nine Inch Nails news. And also, Matt's got a whole section on Tool. He does a good job keeping up with what's new in the Tool world, too. Matt, thanks for joining us on K-Rock, man. We enjoyed it.
Hey, thanks, guys. Take
Bye.
It easy.
Bye now.
It's the big weekend a lot of people have been waiting for. It's the Coachella Valley Music and Arts Festival, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We got tickets. Well, we got your choice. Whatever day you want to go, if you can, stump Bjork right now on K-Rock.
If you would like to go to Coachella, then you have to stump me. I don't think that you can stump me because
okay. Hey, Bjork, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show at K-Rock. It's great to see you again.
Hello, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
Very good, thank you.
Well, we're doing well. Hey, we enjoyed you very much on Saturday Night Live this weekend.
Thank you. I was wonderful to be there to climb the yellow love and then fall through the paper of lightning wolves.
Okay. Okay, nice. I'm not sure what that means. But, Bjork, do you know why we had you in today? Do you know what Stump Bjork is all about? The listeners are going to call. They're going to ask you questions on any topic. And if they can stump you, if they ask a question you don't know the answer to, we're going to put their name in the drawing to see who gets to win tickets to Coachella this weekend.
I'm so glad to be able to help them, and I hope the tickets will give them many moments of pleasure like velvet raspberry fudge.
Okay. Mm. Me too. Right. I'm with you on whatever that was. Molly in Fullerton, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Stump Bjork.
Okay. My question is the name of Amy Winehouse's new single that's out right now.
Amy's new single is called I Am Trapped in Vaseline Spiderwebs with the Fairy King.
I would like to hear that song, if that's actually the name of the song. Molly, is that right? I don't think it is.
No, I don't think that's right. Sorry, Bjork.
Tell us what it is. Tell us the name of the song.
Going Back to Rehab.
All right. Thank you. Hold on.
Crap.
It was close, though. It was very close.
Damn.
Jeff in Corona. Good morning.
Hi there.
Hi.
My question is, what was the original elemental name given to the metal used in incandescent light bulb to create light?
Ooh, good question. That's for Bjork.
It was the paper cuts of platypus with the intruder of love.
Jeff, is it the paper cuts of platypus with the intruder of love?
You know, it's close. It's actually Wolfram.
Yeah. Oh, Wolfram. Oh, Bjork, you were so close.
Crap.
Are you stumped, Bjork? Hold on.
Damn it.
So Jeff's in the drawing. Yep. Let's go to Adrian in Redlands. Good morning, Adrian.
Good morning, good morning.
Giving away tickets for whatever night you want to go, whatever day you want to go, of Coachella, Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. You have to stump Bjork. Go ahead.
Okay, what movie did Flea and Anthony of the Red Hot Chili Peppers star in with Sheen?
With Charlie Sheen. Charlie Sheen. Oh, okay. Bjork, you might know this one. This one's on turns up on cable all the time.
It's on the tip of my tongue. Is it punching a reporter in an airport?
No, that was a very entertaining video of you.
Oh,
that was you.
My favorite movie.
Adrian?
Love that movie.
You have the answer?
It's filled with anger.
It is.
Yeah, I got it. It's The Chase.
The Chase.
Damn
Chase.
It.
Very
damn
close.
God damn it.
Very close. It's okay. It's all right, Bjork. No. If they stump you, they go in the drawing. It's okay. You don't have to be upset.
Hell damn.
All right, let's go a little easier. Let's go to Isaiah in Los Angeles. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey, Stump Bjork.
My question is, what group does she belong to before going solo?
Okay, well, now that's just ridiculously easy, Bjork, because this is the band that they made you famous as a teenager.
Yes, it was called The Antlers of the Aliens Oftentimes Make Sparks in the Helium World.
I don't think that's what Isaiah was looking for. Isaiah?
That would be the Sugar
Cubes. Sugar
Cubes. Yeah. Yes, then I was in The Antlers of the Aliens.
Oh, after Sugar Cubes.
Sparks in the Helium World. For a very short time. It was a solo project.
You're in the drawing, Isaiah. Hold on.
Balls.
Okay, maybe just one more. Maybe Kim
in... Can't get one question right. I'm such a dumb Islander.
Well, you're trying. Kim is in Burbank. You're going to have an opportunity here to stump Bjork. Good luck to you.
Okay. In what Lily Allen song does she mention that she's got a couple of STDs?
That is in My Labia Look Like Formica. Oh.
No, not quite.
Oh. That's not the name of it?
It's not.
Oh.
It's called Knock 'Em Out.
Knock 'Em Out.
Oh. Balls. This is a stupid game.
Well, you haven't gotten a lot of them right.
I hate you.
You've actually got none of them right.
I hate you.
So we have Molly, we have Jeff, we have Adrian, we have Isaiah,
but
and we have Kim.
I love you and hate you.
Okay. In the drawing.
Like the stream that flows through the center of the mountain of...
We need to do the drawing now.
Incandescent love with everyone sharing all the fairy wings and having mixed drinks with the grizzly bears.
Give us the drum roll again. Lisa, who's your winner?
My winner's Kim in Burbank.
There you go.
We got a winner! Oh, Nelly.
Kim.
Yes.
Friday, Saturday, or Sunday?
Sunday.
Sunday night. You got him. You're going to Coachella.
Does she want to come see me? Is she coming to see me?
No, you're on Friday night.
Oh, screw her then.
Right now, the Kevin and Bean Afro line is on the air, 323-520-AFRO. That's the number you call if you want to leave a message that we put on the air like this one. People call us from home. They call us from their car. They call us from class.
I'm sitting here in class, and the girl across the way has a mini skirt on, and her legs spread. Free the Beaver Shot Wednesday.
I think we need to start that.
I like it.
Right? Free Beaver Shot Wednesday?
Sure.
All right. Fantastic.
Hey, what's up with these gas prices? They're so damn high. Here it is, another prime example of the white man keeping the white man down. Damn whitey.
I hate whitey.
Dave, the King of Mexico, is driving around town today trying to earn some credit so he can pay off his Clipper Laker bet.
Hey, I have a job that Dave can do to work off his bet to Kevin. I've got all these tapes of the Lakers, you know, like when the championships they won over the last few years.
Sure.
And I need help cataloging them. So maybe Dave can come over and put labels on them, like all the time the Lakers made the playoffs, all the time the Lakers won the championship, you know, the parade afterwards, stuff like that.
That would be a great job for Dave, to force him as a Clipper fan to do that. By the way, we did check in with Dave last hour. He was in Long Beach cleaning out a guy's bong collection. That was the first job. I think he made $20 toward his bet, and now he's moving on to a new location. I think we'll check in with him next hour, find out what kind of work he's doing.
Next job involves a chainsaw. So that
fantastic.
What could go wrong with that?
Hey, I got a job for Dave. I'll give him $20 to wipe my ass after I take a
All right.
Dude, there are some jobs even Mexicans won't do. Come on.
I'll give him $50 if he wipes my ass without any paper.
Okay. All right, don't let him call back. Can we block his number? Come on.
You don't always get the song stuck in your head that you want there.
Falco Toyota. Falco Toyota. Toyota.
It's never as fun for people who aren't high as it is for you when you are high.
Me and my girlfriend are sitting in the car under 97 Saturn and we're stoned.
Puff the magic dragon.
Wow.
You know, for some people, 420 is every day.
Yeah. You want a return call from them? That guy called back on Monday.
All right. So I wake up this morning after the nice holiday weekend. Yeah. And I have a note from my wife here. It says, I got to take the dog to the vet and get his anal gland squeezed. That's a party. Okay, so there's $40 and a note. Do I do it myself and buy more buds? Or do I take him to the vet? Come here, little buddy.
Oh, no.
Yeah, you need to be a trained professional. You don't attempt that on your own for the first time.
Anyone interested in a call from Dewan?
Oh, yes.
Thought he was happy at his movie theater job?
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Seemed like it, right?
What's up, Kevin and Bean? It's Dewan from Los Angeles, California. And I'd like to say something. I really want the job at In-N-Out Burger, and I hope they will hire me. They need to hire me at In-N-Out Burger Place so I can get a better job instead of the movie theater. Later, dudes.
Wow, he's talking about cheating on the movie theater. How about that?
And what does it mean to hire you? What does it mean to hire you? He wants him to hire him?
Hire. I think even higher.
Higher,
yeah.
Wow, I didn't understand that at all.
Hey, Kevin and Bean, it's the one from Los Angeles, California. Soul Train.
I had LA plus 27 in last night's game. That's what pissed me off.
It was tight. It was right down to the wire.
Oh, could have gone either way right there in those final three quarters.
We're going to talk to former sports guy Money in the 8 o'clock hour about the Lakers. We're going to talk to the King of Mexico trying to earn some money to pay off his bet. And we got J.S. Jaguar for the Ducks coming up just after the top of the hour. J.G.
How about that? I don't know why, and I know we say this every year, as many sports fans do, I don't know why the NBA and the NHL playoffs have to be going on at the exact same time, but here we are again trying to juggle them. So anyway, it's 7:58, it's KRQFM passing in Los Angeles. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. Ralph, what the hell are you talking about?
They should separate those two playoffs so that we can cover up the stink of baseball.
How dare you, first of all.
The NBA on one side and the NHL on the other side, it would just help relieve some of that oppression of baseball.
Yeah. It's a very, very dark time for those of us that aren't baseball fans.
It's worse when it's over. When these playoffs are done, then we're screwed till at least preseason football.
If you guys were real baseball fans, you'd be enjoying the Yankees getting swept by Tampa Bay this week. See, there's something to be rooting for right now.
I'd like to be, but I just
if
can't.
It meant something, I would care about that sweep. But the fact is, there's 190,000 games left, and the Yankees will still find some way at the end of the season to be in it. So,
well, it's just exciting now that they're in last place for a change. That's all.
These damn Chinese people.
What?
Oh, careful, Ralph.
Yeah.
They've done it again. These Chinese movie pirates.
Oh, yes.
Spider-Man 3 is already on sale in the streets in Beijing, 2 weeks ahead of its U.S. premiere.
Cool. Hey. We should send somebody.
Send somebody to China to get a copy of Spider-Man.
That's a great idea.
Didn't it already open in China? Has it opened there yet?
I don't think so.
I don't believe so.
Because they were going to open it earlier there. Remember to prevent this.
Send Doto. In Japan, I think it's already open. In Tokyo.
Yeah, I know it's open there.
Yeah. I don't know about the Chinese release.
That's awesome.
Costing over just over $1 a piece.
$1.
A little more than $1. The DVDs appear to be the actual movie, complete with graphics and a wraparound cover.
Wow.
Yeah.
I can't imagine it's very good quality, but it's also $1.
Yeah, exactly.
You pay $500 million, Ralph reported, to make this movie, and then someone buys it for $1. They buy it for the change in their pocket.
Look, there's a lot of Chinese. I mean, I'm sure in volume they make back that money, you know, $1 a piece, you know.
But who makes it back? Not the studio.
No. The pirates. Yeah. Here's the best part of the whole story. On the back of the bootleg DVD, at the bottom of the cover, there's a warning against pirating the product.
They put that on the cover as well?
You're not allowed to copy this copy.
I like it.
Basically, is what they tell you. So,
damn, that's weird.
They're good.
I'm gonna get over there and start kicking some ass. Start cleaning that town up. New sheriff in town.
Good luck with that. It's a pretty big town.
Thanks.
By the way, they're just about to pass us in carbon dioxide too. Come on, people. We gotta be number one. Get out there. Drive some more.
I'm gonna go smoke a pack of cigarettes right now. See what I can do. Another day, another celebrity in rehab. Jonathan Rhys-Meyers of the Tudors. Apparently in rehab this time. People Magazine reports he's going in for treatment of alcoholism. That's a bummer.
Yeah. That is a bummer.
Because he's real good. Are you watching that show, The Tudors?
I'm not. I've heard nothing but good about it, though.
You're not watching it?
I'm taping it. I haven't seen any yet.
Watch it!
Behind.
Go leave right now. Go home and watch it.
I'm just catching up on 24, dude.
I never thought that there would be a show that would make, you know, old English history fascinating, but this show does it.
Maybe that's part of my problem.
It's about Henry VIII and Anne Boleyn, one of his many wives, and it's good stuff. A lot of sex, which always makes things better.
Sure.
New celebrity romance news. Michelle Trachtenberg.
Ooh.
From Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And Entourage's E, Kevin Connolly.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
Now, he was with Nikki Taylor for a long time,
yes,
right?
Yes, he was. And apparently now he's with Michelle Trachtenberg. Hmm. They were spotted hanging out together on the Sunset Strip, so that's pretty interesting.
Good to be friends with a movie star.
Sure is.
That's all I'm saying.
No, wait a minute. That's just the TV show. Britney Spears says she'd like to do a duet with Sanjaya Malakar.
On purpose?
What's wrong with her?
Star Magazine reports that Britney became a fan of American Idol while she was in rehab. She had nothing better to do than watch the television. She became a huge Sanjaya fan.
Does she know that most people over 12 were laughing at him?
You know most people over 12 are laughing at Britney?
Well, true. Good point.
But doesn't she realize now that she's sober that he's not that funny? Like, it's hilarious if you're in rehab.
I suppose so. Good news, Rosie O'Donnell is leaving The View.
Oh, thank God.
TMZ.com says that she'll be leaving the TV show. No word on exactly when she'll leave, but she is committed to going.
I don't watch that show, but she's just got such a giant pie hole.
The downside is she will probably get her own show.
Again?
Again.
Did she quit or did she get thrown off the first time?
She quit.
She quit the first show.
Oh, she quit her own show. Yeah.
She passed over to Carolyn Rea.
That's right.
Who, the host of... The Biggest Loser?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
She kind of handed the baton to her and let her take over the show, and then the show went right in the dumper, and then got canceled. But
she is a phenomenally successful television personality.
Yeah.
That's the thing. I mean, her Rosie show was a huge hit. She comes to The View, big ratings. I don't know.
Look, I can see people watching the original Rosie show, because at that time, everyone thought she was sort of like a lovable, friendly, feel-good sort of daytime
Queen of
talk
Nice.
Show. Yeah, Queen of Nice. And now everyone knows she's just this horrible, bitter bitch.
She's changed. I mean, she started talking about politics and stuff like that, and she got so negative and ugly and just hateable.
Yeah.
and fat.
She wasn't like that on her original show? She didn't
She was a good time. Everyone loved her and thought she was just sweet as pie. And then
Back then it was just, oh, look, I'm in love with Tom Cruise. I mean, that was her acting.
My Tommy! My Tommy!
That's right.
Yeah, so we might have to put up with her again.
Excellent.
Today's celebrity birthday is Jason Lee. My name is Earl. All those Kevin Smith movies. He's 37 years old today. Renee Zellweger. She's 38 years old today, and reported earlier today, apparently she is dating John Krasinski from The Office.
You know, that's not okay with me.
It's not okay with me
it's
either.
It's not?
No.
Would you like to put a bit in, Kevin?
No, not myself, but...
Listen, John, you're mine, big boy.
Shoes.
Actress Gina Torres from I Think I Love My Wife and Alias. She's smoking hot. She's 38 years old today. Eric Avery of Jane's Addiction is 42. Hank Azaria from The Simpsons.
Yes.
Is 43 years old today. Talia Shire is 61 years old today, best known for playing Mrs. Rocky, of course, and Al Pacino, legendary actor of enormous stature. Though not really, he's a little guy.
No,
but, you know, in terms of the industry, he's big.
Sure.
67 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
What I'm talking about is Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock 106.7 KRQ. By the way, this time tomorrow, one of our old friends, Tori Amos, joins us in the studio of K-Rock. She'll be talking to us and performing from her new CD. So that's tomorrow here on the Kevin Bean Show. Right now, looking at NHL Stanley Cup playoffs, Anaheim Ducks versus Vancouver Canucks. Game one in that series is tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, the man in the net, Jean-Sebastien Jaguer, on the phone with us here, back on the world-famous K-Rock. Hey, Jiggy, how are you, man?
Hey, pretty good for you.
Great to talk to you again. I hope this is the start of another good luck, beautiful friendship between us.
I think so.
Well, where do we start? First of all, I know you ran into a rough time with your newborn. I hope everything's going great there. You know, all the fans were supporting you behind you, so I hope everything worked out nicely there.
Yeah, you know, everything is good. You know, he's been great since we brought him home. He's been
fantastic.
While eating and sleeping and doing everything else a baby does, I guess.
Very cool. That's what you need at this time of the season in round two of the Stanley Cup playoffs is an infant at home screaming, right?
Exactly.
Well, let's see. Where do you start? How long has it been since you guys have played hockey? It seems like the Vancouver series went so long that those guys are, you know, just barely out of there, ready to play round two. You guys have had like a month off, it seems like.
Yeah, I know. You know, they only had Vancouver only had a day off in between their last series and this one. I think we've had six or seven days, so it's you know, it's going to be different for both teams. I think the first 10 minutes of tonight's game is going to be very crucial. We're going to have to come out and use the energy of the crowd, which has been great, you know, at the Honda Center lately, and just use that in our advantage and try to go after them.
Tell us the difference of playing a lot and getting in a groove, which Vancouver might be doing, or, you know, slash resting. Yeah. And coming out healthy or maybe getting out of a groove. Is there any question of either of those things?
Well, you know, there is a little bit, but I think you get to use the rest as an advantage. And you know, this is a sprint to the end. You know, we have seven games to try to win this series, and it's not just going to happen in the first 10 minutes of the series. You know, you're going to have to try to win the first game. If it doesn't work, then you try to win the second game. But I think the rest will become an advantage as the series is going to go on.
Mm-hmm. What do you do? Of course, you've been pretty busy at home, but I saw in the news the other day, Timu was out playing golf. I mean, you guys actually have some real, to honest to goodness, days off when you have a week off, right, where you actually don't have to do anything hockey-related.
Yeah, no, we've actually had a couple of days off. Last week it was really nice. You know, you get to spend some time with your family, and like Timu did, you know, go play golf. Some of the guys did go play golf, and you know, it just gives you time to relax a little bit. But you got to be careful not to over relax. You know, you got to still think about hockey and make sure that you don't do stuff that you wouldn't do during the regular season.
I got to tell you, hockey for some reason is maybe the sport where they shouldn't play two games back to back, but they do that all season long. Two games back to back in hockey. It's insane that they do that. But now you guys are rested up. Tell us about the Vancouver Canucks and your chances against them.
Well, you know, the Canucks have a very good team. They're going to be very greedy. It should be a pretty physical and rough series. You know, where our team is pretty tough, as you guys know, so it should be a lot of fun in that sense. And they probably have the best goalie in the world playing for them, so it's going to be tough for us to score some goals. But I think if we can get in his face, we'll be able to get some.
Who's that guy you guys have in the net? I can't remember.
I don't follow Vancouver a lot, Jiggy, but they've got don't they have some evil twins on that club, the Sedin brothers or something like that? Is that their names?
Yeah, they got the Sedin brothers, two Swedish guys. They're really good players, and it seems that they don't even have to look at each other on the ice. They know where each other is, and they've been playing together, obviously, since they were kids. So they're going to be the guys to watch offensively for them.
And their own language, all that stuff?
Yeah, I bet they do. I think twins are kind of creepy, don't you? I mean, there's something like kind of inherently like kind of weird, like they got an advantage. Like it's almost not fair that they get to play on the same team. You know what I mean? It seems like, I don't know, they ought to spot you a goal or something.
I know, exactly. I mean, you know, I just wonder how the hell did they manage to draft those two in the same team?
Yeah,
you know,
that does just seem
pretty amazing.
Yeah,
no kidding. We have Jean-Sébastien Jaguar on the phone. And by the way, 1 hour from right now on the Kevin Bean and Sean K-Rock, we're going to give you a chance to win some tickets to go to game two of the playoffs, which are going to be at Honda Center Friday night against Vancouver. I wanted to ask you, because I've been seeing a lot on the news in the last couple of weeks about your coach, Carlisle. We've never had him on our show before. And he seems like the nicest, like most mild-mannered guy in the world until you screw up or until you say the wrong thing to him, and then he just seems like he just blows up at you. He seems like such an explosive guy sometimes. What's he like? How is he to play for?
Well, you know, he's good. He's a good coach. He definitely knows what he's doing out there. He's definitely intense, though. You know, he expects a lot out of you, and, you know, he'll try to find ways to get it out of you. But at the end of the day, like any coach, he's fair. If you work hard, he'll make you play, and he'll he doesn't expect anything that you're not able to do. You know, he just expects, he knows what every player is capable to do, and he expects you to do it every day.
Is the biggest problem a hockey team faces injuries and health and the long season and tired, and is that just a constant thing you have to overcome?
Well, and as you get older, you know, obviously the injuries are you're more prone to injuries and stuff like that. But you also learn to know your body better and know what it takes for you to be ready and prepare. Obviously you need your sleep and your rest and you need to hydrate good and stuff like that. And sometimes it takes a little while before you figure that out. But as the experience comes, I guess you tend to figure it out.
Does it matter to you, or do you not even pay attention to the hockey analysts and the odds makers who say, for instance, in this matchup, that you're expected to win? You're not the underdog in this series. They think there's no reason why you shouldn't win. Does that get into your head at all, or you just ignore that when people say that?
You try to ignore it. I mean, when you're the underdog, I guess you try to use that as a motivation. And when you're not the underdog, I guess you try to ignore it so it doesn't bug you in your concentration and stuff like that. We finished second in our conference. They were third. We were right against each other in points, amount of points and stuff like that. We know they have a good team. You know, it's going to be a really tight battle, and I know the best team is going to win at the end of the series. So it's going to be fun.
They had a game last week, Jiggy, I'm sure you know, where there was ended up being a quadruple overtime that they won. Have you ever had one of those in the playoffs, four in a row?
We went to the fifth overtime against Dallas in 2003. And,
my God.
I know. It was a nightmare.
Were guys just like sitting down on the ice going, someone please score. I'm tired.
That's exactly what guys were saying coming back from the ice. You know, can somebody just score already? Like it's getting ridiculous.
How late did you play?
I can't remember how many minutes it was.
Oh, my God.
Before we went in on the ice for the fifth overtime period, my hands were cramping up.
Sure.
Because of the hydration, and I couldn't put my gear on. So I had to get the trainers to put my gear on, and I was like, no, I don't know how long I can go anymore. And we ended up scoring in the first minute and a half, I think.
And then you collapsed?
Yeah, then I was like, put the IV in my arm right away.
Those of you that don't follow hockey, that during the season they have a shootout, but when it gets to the playoffs, they'll play for a week at a time if they have to.
Exactly.
Finish the game.
Yeah, it's like a doubleheader in hockey, which is the last thing anybody wants. Well, it couldn't be more exciting to have you guys heading into round two and being healthy and feeling strong. And we're so excited about especially having the opportunity to have these first two games at home. It's tonight for game one at the Honda Center. Of course, it's sold out, but you can see that on the TV. And then Friday night, we'll have tickets you can win for that 1 hour from right now. And Jiggy, I think we ought to do what we did in 2003. Maybe talk to you again right before round three when you get there, all right?
Well, sounds good. That'll be a pleasure for me.
All right, thank you, man.
All right, man. Great to talk to you.
Bye now.
Goodbye.
You know, we've had a lot of athletes on this program, but hockey players are always cool.
They're the nicest guys.
I love those guys. They're
super guys, yeah. So the short version of the story is that Dave owes Kevin allegedly $90 over basketball NBA season credits. Right. We're not, of course, we couldn't be talking about dollars here. Right. That'd be illegal and wrong.
Right.
Really showed up for work Monday morning without any of those and no real plans to pay it back until payday, which is unacceptable. It violates the code of betting. Let's face it. So we put Dave out to work this week. K-Rock listeners have come through with lots of jobs for him. And Dave now.
One.
Let go!
Yeah.
Let go!
Yeah.
Let go!
Yeah.
Let me hear the end of that game again. I'm not sure I quite caught the final score.
I'd rather not, if you don't mind, because it's rather painful.
So the Lakers head back home, down by two. And the percentage is not in their favor when you look at it in NBA playoff history. It is over in Phoenix, 126-98.
Wow.
Yeah.
Natalie Smith, AM 570, your Lakers station. Good morning. Welcome to the Kevin and Meach on K-Rock.
Yes.
126-98 money?
Could have been worse. Could have been 128-98.
That's true. That is true. You speak the truth. Now, at least the game was never in question, so that was good.
Yeah, you kind of knew, even though they were only down by six in that their first quarter, that it was bad because the Phoenix Suns were on pace to score 170 points at the end of it.
The problem
that tends to favor the old leather skin, cigarette smoking crew out there.
The problem with the Suns is that when they get on a roll, you're screwed.
You know what I hate about the Phoenix Suns, and I do love them, and I'm as guilty of it as anybody else, is when they are playing really well, every single broadcaster, even the broadcaster for the opposing team, like there you just played Joel Myers, who with that big booming voice will say, well, I'll tell you this, Stu, these Phoenix Suns sure are a hell of a lot of fun to watch, aren't they? Well, not really. Not when they're kicking in the face of the team that you want to win, they're not as much fun to watch.
They're a lot more fun when they're playing someone else and killing them.
Yes. But not so much when they're playing your team.
Now, Money, first two games didn't go quite as well as the Laker fans would hope. Game three and four?
Well, you know, the one thing that everyone seems to be pulling out of last night was Lamar Odom, who is probably, if not my favorite, one of my favorite players on the team. He's very candid. He's really just, you know, for lack of a better term, just like a sweetheart of a guy. Really just a good dude. Just through and through, and of course has been through a lot this particular season and last season and his whole life for that matter, and just kind of in that moment of pause when Craig Sager in his goofy pastel-colored jacket was interviewing him, he said, you know, there's just no camaraderie on this team, man, and that's what happens when you lose a game like that. And it's kind of something we've been kicking around for a while in trying to figure out what is wrong with this team that played pretty well last year. And it's kind of like, you know, on defense, when you allow a team to score almost 130 points on you, just put it in real-world perspective, like, Kevin, if someone accused you of having kiddie porn on your computer, right?
Right,
you know, if the guys like you, they would say, you know what, we know Kevin pretty well, and doesn't seem like the kind of guy. It must have been some sort of misunderstanding. But if they don't like you, they'd say, oh, yeah, I can see that. He's a freak.
Yeah, right.
And that's kind of what's happening with the Lakers. Guys get beat on defense, and instead of helping them out, they just kind of look at them and shake their head in disgust, and it's just kind of unraveling at this point.
I was thinking last night as I was watching the Lakers that I don't think at all this season they have played with the unity that the Suns were playing with. That's the one thing they really don't have.
Yeah, I mean, they've also been busted up pretty much all season. You know, Lamar missed like almost 30 games. Kobe missed about 4 or 5. Kwame missed 30. Luke missed 25. I mean, those were all starters. So,
I'm ready to get rid of Kwame, first of all.
Well, the problem with Kwame is he's, you know, I think everyone just kind of focuses on offense. It's just the way it is. You know, with girls, we focus on their looks and not their personality. Kwame's got a good personality. You know, he's a big body and he plays good defense, but because he has almost zero offensive skill, people just hate him. And I think that's kind of the best analogy I can draw.
I'm also not a huge Lamar Odom fan, not because he's not a good guy or he's not a good player, but because he's always been that guy with huge potential that's not ever quite there yet.
Yeah, I like the movie Clockers, and he looks kind of like Delwood, though. So I give him a pass.
Okay. All right. Strange reason to like a guy, but okay.
You know what? I think Lamar, and this, I guess, is we try to, you know, people were freaking out last night on the post-game show.
Sure.
Trade Kobe, and you know, I think, you know, the one thing to look at from Lamar's comments are, it's a guy that when Kobe was out the first couple games, I mean, his numbers, he averaged like 28 points, 14 rebounds, 8 assists, and you just wonder if he just hasn't been able to figure out how to play with Kobe and the style of basketball that Kobe plays, and it's driving him nuts.
How much did you think last night watching that game, Money, what a different situation it would have been if Shaquille O'Neal were still on the Lakers?
Yeah, probably would have helped a little bit.
A bit, yeah.
I mean, you know, just a little. You know, the thing about Shaq is I think the better question is, what was Kobe thinking, sitting on that bench going, man, I remember when Shaq was here, and that was pretty fun.
That was good times.
That was fun, yep.
Vince Parker, Kwame Brown, not so much fun.
Yeah.
So, I'm sorry, Kevin. How much of a difference will it make coming home? That's got to provide a little bit of a spark for Game 3, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, the Lakers don't really have a great home record, but you know that I'll tell you what, man, that arena in Phoenix is one of the loudest I've ever seen.
Yeah.
It's kind of like it's almost like I guess you would describe it as like an independent league baseball game where they have, you know, all these crazy promotions going on. There's a dude in a gorilla suit doing backflips, guys on motorcycles, and arguably the hottest. And I don't mean best looking or best dancing. I mean straight out Olympic Gardens, crazy horse, hottest dancers you've ever seen in your life.
Wow.
In that particular arena.
That's saying something.
Kenny.
Yeah. So, do we have a chance?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I am kind of employed by the team. I don't think I can say there's no chance. It's. I mean, look, if they win both games here, yeah, sure. You know, then it's a brand new series. It's
hey,
best of three. But
I'll go a step further, and I'll say if they win all the next four games, they have a chance.
Yeah, that would, you know what, they would have a chance there, too.
That's correct. All right.
About the same amount of chances they have of beating it. You know, the Suns won 20 more games. I mean, they know, you look at every position, and with the exception of Kobe, you could argue they have the better guy, you know. And, and then they got Leandro Barbosa, who, I mean, I don't know if you know who this guy is before this particular series.
He's unbelievable.
He is. I mean, number one, he starts every drive, and he has led the team in scoring in both games with, my name is Leandro Barbosa. Prepare to die. And he's attacked relentlessly.
Yeah.
He's remarkable. I mean, he's so fast, and, you know, these Suns, they're a lot of fun to watch, Stu.
Yeah.
That's what I understand.
I guess this guy says it best.
Let go!
Thank you, Money.
All right, guys, be good.
Bye.
Right now, Ralph's here with the Showbiz Beat. Ralph, what's going on?
Heather Mills booted off Dancing with the Stars last night. To much relief.
Ralph said booted.
See? Because she's got one leg.
One boot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
She's gone.
Yeah. Nope.
Nope.
Not a joke.
Nope.
Just gone.
They are bringing another guy to replace her, though. Guy with no arms and no legs who lives inside a coffee pot.
Yeah.
Named Joe.
I didn't know they replaced people when they got kicked off.
They didn't. I just wanted to sneak that joke in.
All right.
Game.
Speaking of reality television, let's see. If you're Fox, how do you take a results show of American Idol that only has six people left? It's only going to take about half an hour to get through. How do you make that a two-hour TV show? Well, I know. Let's have a telethon. Let's have a freaking telethon for starving African kids.
It was a half hour, and then recently they upped it to an hour because it's a ratings juggernaut. Now they figured out a way to make it 2 hours tonight.
Yeah, tonight is the Idol Gives Back special. You got your results, and then you have Bono and Gwen Stefani and Jack Black and a bunch of other people showing up saying, give us money.
I don't watch that show, but I was giving it credit for finally, you know, giving a little something back. I didn't realize they were putting it into the results show. So they're going to try and raise money, 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 and then they're going to go, by the way, so-and-so, you're kicked off.
Ratings, ratings, ratings.
Oh, dear God.
Although, having said that, and I don't know if you watched it last night or not, Ralph,
no.
But the footage of the guys going to Africa to show you where some of the money's going to be going from the telethon, I mean, it was heartbreaking and devastating. I mean, if they are raising awareness of the seriousness of the problem over there, they are doing a good thing.
I love when Bean pretends to care about black people. That's my favorite thing. Yeah.
Did they show the dictator's...
Really touch.
Yeah. Right.
Did they show the dictator's bank accounts where all the money's going to go? They show that?
No.
No, they just showed poor people starving, pretty much.
Pretty much, yeah.
Excellent.
Though Simon was remarkably human during those segments.
Really?
Yeah, he was obviously rattled by what he saw over in Africa. Apparently, he and Ryan went over to Africa to look around and say, hey, here's some starving people. Yeah. Let's get back on our plane and have first-class dinner. What do you
think? Did he yell at them?
He said,
you're horribly skinny. I've never seen anyone so thin. Pitifully, pitifully thin.
Simon said on the show last night that he didn't know there were any hungry people in America. And I thought that was a humorous remark.
Yeah, that was funny.
I didn't know there were starving people here.
No, he's British. He doesn't know anything.
Yeah.
Anyway, you can check that out tonight if you're so inclined. Although that Jordan Sparks, Bean, I think you might be right. She might be, might be the one to watch. She's 17 years old, and she did an amazing job last night. I'm not sure.
She hot?
So, yeah, she's kind of hot. She's right. The hottest one left, that's for sure. Rosie O'Donnell finally made her official announcement today. She is indeed leaving The View in mid-June. Nope, just an announcement. Her hosting duties will end. Apparently, her contract is up, and she was unable to come to terms with ABC on a new one. The statement's great. This is such Hollywood speak. My needs for the future just didn't dovetail with what ABC was able to offer me. Can't you just say, I wanted more money?
No, it's her needs for the future.
My needs for the future didn't dovetail with what ABC had to offer me.
She's got to eat a lot.
Yeah, can you imagine what her grocery bill is?
Come on.
It's the per capita of some small foreign countries.
This is for all the fat girls!
Guess who wants to manage Britney Spears' career?
Please tell me it's K-Fed.
Can't imagine.
No, he'd be a good choice.
Damn.
Now that she married fired her longtime manager, Larry Rudolph, Joe Simpson has stepped up.
Oh, no.
Father manager of pop stars Jessica and Ashley.
Hang on, I got an email.
Okay.
He knows how to manage a pop career, though.
Yeah, look at Ashley. She's doing the Pussycat Dolls this in Vegas, I think, this week. But Jessica, at least, is on the road banging John Mayer because she doesn't really have much going on.
Isn't Jessica's dad the one that was talking about her amazing rack?
Yeah, hot she is. She's so sexy, and everyone wants to do her.
Yeah, that's not what you want to hear from your dad.
Yeah. No word yet on whether Britney has taken him up on his offer. And the greatest band in the history of rock and roll is returning.
Rage Against the Machine, I know. Sunday night, 10:40.
No, whatever with Rage Against the Machine. They couldn't carry these guys' picks.
Ween?
Couldn't carry their amps.
How dare you?
You got a reunion you're talking about here?
Reuniting in concert for the Al Gore 777 show. Performing at Wembley Stadium in London as part of the Live Earth concert.
Let me guess. I got to guess.
Greatest rock band ever.
Led Zeppelin.
No.
Menudo.
Really? That would be huge.
Couldn't even hold a candle to this band.
Bigger than Zeppelin.
Menudo?
Bigger than Menudo.
Bigger than Menudo.
Yes. And any other Spanish soup you care to name.
Okay.
No. Spinal Tap.
Oh!
Yes, Spinal Tap reuniting.
Really?
Nigel Tufnel. David St. Hubbins and Derek Smalls reuniting on stage at Wembley on July 7th for the Live Earth concert. Couldn't be more excited.
For people who haven't seen that movie, you need to...
You need to see it.
You need to see that. It's very funny. It's
the greatest rockumentary ever.
It's funny because there are actors and comedians who play a rock band that actually became a rock band and put out albums and tour, and now they have a reunion as if they're a real band.
Working on my sex farm, plowing through your bean field, poking your hay. Come on, sex farm woman, I'm gonna hoe you down. One of the greatest songs ever.
Sex farm woman.
There would be no Tenacious D if there were not a Spinal Tap. That's
Spinal
for sure.
Tap started all that kind of stuff. Yeah. Love that. Break Like the Wind, another one of their great singles.
Oh, that was great.
Yeah. Today's celebrity birthday is Jason Lee. My Name is Earl, all the Kevin Smith movies. He's 37 years old today. Actress Renee Zellweger. And I know a lot of people say things about her, like she's all scrunchy and whatnot.
Yeah.
Well, it's her face. She's got...
But I thought she was so good in Cinderella Man. That was one of my favorite performances.
She's great.
She was great.
She's a really good actress.
Not hot, but great.
38 years old today. Gina Torres from I Think I Love My Wife and from Alias. She's 38. Eric Avery, bassist of Jane's Addiction, is 42. Hank Azaria, you know him from The Simpsons. He does Apu and Mo the Bartender and many, many other voices. 43 years old today. Talia Shire, who not only is the sister of Francis Ford Coppola, but also in the Rocky movie, 61 years old today. And speaking of Francis Ford Coppola, Al Pacino, Michael Corleone from the Godfather movies, as well as Scarface. And geez, what a career this guy
Ocean's
had,
13.
Huh? Ocean's 13 coming up.
Can't wait.
He's 67 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
The Coachella Valley Board of Tourism presents another in an ongoing series.
How to Survive the Coachella Valley Music and Arts Festival. Chapter 8, Hydration. Remember, the Coachella Valley Music and Art Festival is a metaphoric marathon, not a metaphoric sprint. And as in any metaphoric marathon, it's important to stay hydrated. Metaphorically, drink lots of fluids before you arrive at the event. But don't worry, water will also be sold on site. And loan officers will be on hand to help you finance your water purchase. You may find it a more efficient fluid-to-fund ratio to drink beer. And after two beers, when you've run out of money, you can always drink your own urine. We repeat, your own urine, you freaks. Enjoy the Coachella Valley Music and Art Festival. And as we say here at the Board of Tourism, try not to die.
That's a nice slogan.
Your own urine.
Right, sure.
I think it may be time to update some of the safety tips for the Coachella people. I got to be honest. Some of them just seemed a little dated to me.
Like
I'm just saying.
Like, that's not still relevant.
Yeah, no kidding.
As you know, all this week on K-Rock, we're giving you tickets of your choice of days for Coachella. That will happen again after 10 o'clock this morning with our good friend Tammy Heidi or whoever's doing the midday show now. But right now, ladies and gentlemen, very excited about a pair of tickets to the Anaheim Ducks as they take on Vancouver in game one. No, let me take that again. They're going to be taking on Vancouver in the second game of round two of the Stanley Cup playoffs. They play tonight, of course, but we're giving you tickets for Friday night, and you can win them right now if you're on the line to play Lick Lisa.
Can you lick Lisa? I think you'll find it's hard.
She said.
But if you do lick Lisa, something hot's waiting for you.
Lick, lick Lisa, 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 but keep clear of her vagina.
Oh, so many rules.
Yeah. So many rules, so little time.
All right. Exactly.
We have intern Circus Vargas in the room with us. She's going to do the licking.
Yay.
Her parents were both in the circus. They're
carnies. She can lick in new and different ways
because of that. Lisa took off her sweater for this game, too. I'm not sure what that means.
Well, she needs surface area.
More surface area.
Right. That's what she said.
I think Lisa's ready to be licked. All right. Well, Lisa, you're going to be very excited to know, because I know you're a big hockey fan, that this is the Lick Lisa Ducks Hockey Edition, since we are giving away tickets for the Ducks for Friday night's playoff game, okay?
Excellent.
So the way the game is played, of course, is I'm going to ask a question. The number is always going to be the answer is always going to be a number, and you have to tell us whether you think, if you're on the line with us at that time, you have to tell us whether you think Lisa's guess is right on or if she should go higher or lower. And then, of course, if you're right, you lick Lisa and you win tickets to go to the Ducks game. So there you go.
Now we have multiple pairs, so if you win, you don't go into a drawing. You automatically win the tickets for tomorrow night.
Oh, cool.
Or Friday night.
Sweet.
Okay.
We got this game down. Katie in Monrovia, good morning.
Morning.
Hi, Katie.
Katie, I'm sorry this is a little sloppy today, but we'll try to clean it up. Are you ready for the Lick Lisa question? Remember, Lisa answers first, then you tell us what you think of her answer, okay?
All right,
here we go. Lisa, as you know, an official NHL hockey rink is covered with ice 85 feet by 200 feet. Covered in far less ice is rapper Paul Wall's Baller on a Budget grill. How much does that retail for? Paul Wall's the white guy who's always got the braces, you know, the big grill that he walks around with all the time. And
What'd you think?
Sells one for how much?
All right.
What did you think?
So you know what went on the air. Lisa looked at me totally baffled. So I point to my teeth like a grill.
A grill.
And she looks back at me and flips like a spatula. She's like, I thought it meant a grill.
Like a grill? Like a George Foreman grill?
No.
Dear God.
No, this is an MTV style grill is what this is, Lisa.
Well, I imagine
how much does it retail for?
I have no idea. Is it made of gold? Do they say?
Well, we were hoping you'd know and have a guess.
Oh, platinum. Oh, okay. Then I'm going to say $3,500.
$3,500. Katie, is she right on? Should she have guessed higher or lower?
Higher.
No, I'm sorry. Way, way lower. That means a buzz, Michael. Way lower. $75 is all the grills.
$75.
Why would you ding it?
Not precious metals.
Kevin worded it.
I said, should she have guessed higher or lower? Which means it means it's a buzz.
Oh, dear God.
There you go. Freaking blame me. All right.
Okay, so she did not win, and she did not. I'm sorry, Circus Vargas. You do not get to lick Lisa this time, so keep your tongue in your mouth. Yeah, so $75. That's why covered in far less ice is Paul Wall's Baller on a Budget grill.
I don't think the budget might have been it.
Okay.
I was still figuring out if it was something you cooked a hamburger on.
Amanda in Winnetka. Good morning.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean and Lisa.
Hi, Amanda.
Amanda, I'm very sorry that you had to hear this game today. All right. Talking about Ducks playoff tickets for Friday, thinking of great ducks in history. Of course, there's Donald Duck, there's Howard the Duck, and of course, everyone's favorite, the rubber ducky.
Great Ducks goalie Jean-Sébastien Giguère, who was on our show last hour, this past season, Lisa, set a career high and a franchise record with how many wins? How many wins in goal for Jiggy this year?
In one season. How many wins? How many games did they win?
12.
12. Is that right on, Amanda, or should it be higher or lower?
Lower.
Have you guys never watched hockey?
I've been, but I don't pay attention.
It'd be an awfully short season if you only had to win 12 to get to the playoffs.
Oh, no.
It's 36.
Oh, 36 is what we're looking for.
That is
you might have been
more.
Thinking of football, Lisa. Maybe football is what you were thinking of.
I got to tell you, I'm glad Amanda's not going home because she's not a hockey fan.
They're worse right. than me, and that's hard to do.
They are, and it is. That's correct. All right.
Poor Circus Vargas is just salivating. She so much wants to lick.
Jim in Redlands. Good morning.
Good morning.
Are you a hockey fan, Jim?
I like going to games.
So no.
So no.
He's a fan, but he doesn't know anything.
I hope you don't win. Here's your question.
As you know, when you start talking about hockey players, inevitably the conversation drifts over to their favorite hairstyle, the mullet. The Canadian passport, the hockey head, the Kentucky waterfall, the Norco neck warmer. And that brings us to our question. Lisa, listen up. Billy Ray Cyrus, most famous mullet in the world, sold how many copies of his debut album, Some Gave All? That, of course, featured his business in the front, party in the back anthem, Achy Breaky Heart, that we all remember.
Can I give you a hint?
Sure, more than 12?
It was really before the downloading thing happened.
Okay, I'm going to say 2 million.
2 million, all right.
2 million copies.
Higher, lower, or exactly right?
Higher.
Thank God you said that. Way bigger hit. 9 million copies of Billy Ray Cyrus' debut album. Oh. One of the biggest debuts of all time. Congratulations, Jim. You're going to the game. Circus Vargas, you get to lick Lisa.
She's putting out her arm as an offering.
Aww.
Oh, she's moving her shirt up over her shoulder.
She's a nice licker.
Nicely done.
Yes.
That's what I wanted to hear. All right, let's go to Alex in Riverside. Good morning, Alex.
Good morning, guys. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Alex.
All right, Alex, listen up. We're playing the Lick Lisa Ducks Hockey Edition. In 2002, actor Joshua Jackson was arrested for drunkenly assaulting a security guard at a hockey game between the Carolina Hurricanes and the Pittsburgh Penguins. Here's your question. How many Mighty Ducks films did Joshua appear in? He, of course, you know Lisa from Dawson's Creek, but he also had a lot of success in the big screen with the Mighty Ducks franchise. How many movies did Joshua Jackson appear in?
Two.
Two? Higher or lower
than
the same,
Alex? Two
Mighty Ducks
movies.
It was higher.
Yeah, it was. There were three, actually. There was the Mighty Ducks, then D2, the Mighty Ducks, and then D3, the Mighty Ducks. So congratulations. You lick Lisa, Circus Vargas. Alex, you're going to the game.
Darn. Come here,
Nicely
Circus.
Done. She's licking. She's pulling her hair back and licking her neck. Very nice.
Sexy.
Okay, let's go to Paul in Upland. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, guys. Good morning, Lisa.
Hi, Paul.
All right, listen up. Remember, Lisa answers first. Lisa, here's your question. The first goalie masks in the 1920s were made of leather, but the most famous goalie mask in history is the one worn by horror icon Jason Voorhees. How many films are there, Lisa, in the Jason movie series?
Six.
Six. Higher, lower, or the same, Paul?
I'm going to say lower.
I'm going to say no. How about 11?
Ooh.
11 Jason movies. Sorry
That's
about that. A lot of the Friday the 13th. Sorry about that.
You got part one, part two, part three, final chapter, new beginning. Jason lives, new blood. Jason takes Manhattan. Jason goes to hell the final Friday. My favorite, Jason X and Freddy versus Jason.
Wow.
11.
Jason versus Wild Hogs later this year, too, by the way. All right, let's try another one. What are we giving away so far? Two?
Two, yeah. We have two more.
Okay.
All right. Your name is Beth in San Dimas. Here we go.
All right, Beth, listen up. Lisa answers first. Eight teams are currently in the quest, Lisa, for this year's Stanley Cup. Here's your question. How many ounces are in my favorite 7-Eleven classic, the Double Gulp?
Ooh.
How many ounces in the Double Gulp?
80.
80 ounces. Beth, higher or lower the same?
Lower?
Yes.
Oh, sorry.
Yes, 64 ounces.
I was going to guess 64.
I'm sorry. You were going to guess 64?
I was. But you're then I got double.
You're going to the playoff game, Beth. Congratulations.
All right.
Awesome.
Circus,
thanks.
You get to lick.
Lick.
Don't.
She's considering.
Lick the owl.
She does.
That's what you should do.
No, you don't want her to lick material.
I'm just saying, that's the part of the shirt. Where are you going to lick, for God's sakes? Going back for the front of the neck. Oh, hey.
Very
okay.
Nice.
All right. That was good. Melissa in Lake Elsinore. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, Melissa.
All right, Melissa, I hope you're lucky. You are our final caller. This is our final question in the Ducks edition of Lick Lisa. Listen up. Earlier this year, Lisa, a rare mutation left a duckling in England with four full-size legs and webbed feet. An even rarer mutation from a spider bite left Peter Parker with web shooters, enabling him to become Spider-Man. In 2002, the question goes on, seemingly unending, four original Spider-Man suits were stolen from the Spider-Man set. How much did Columbia Pictures post for their reward?
Oh.
Is our assistant producer Alex Superhore on,
I don't know.
On the weed?
Well, she went from the mutated duck to the mutated spider, then to Spider-Man, and then to the costumes got stolen. Your question, Lisa, how much was posted for their reward?
$50,000.
$50,000. Melissa, higher or lower or the same?
I'm going to say higher.
I'm sorry. No, it was actually it was only $25,000. Maybe they should have offered $50,000 because the costumes were never returned. I'm sorry, my dear. You do not get to go to the Ducks. I'm sorry, Circus Vargas. You do not get to lick Lisa. But aww, thanks to everybody for playing the game.
Yes, and we have more tickets tomorrow morning on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Lick, lick Lisa. Lick, lick Lisa. But keep clear of her vagina.
Can you do the whistling and the double clap, though? what's the deal with that song, you guys? What's that all about?
Delicious.
They whistle.
Okay.
Kevin and Bean Show, 951. Time for your phone calls. 1-800-520-1067. You get on the air, you get a prize.
Terrific prize for you today, too. It's a pair of tickets to Universal Studios Hollywood, the entertainment capital of Los Angeles, with the all-new Universal's House of Horrors. It's a frightening scream-as-you-go walk-through experience inspired by characters from Universal's greatest horror movies like Dracula, Frankenstein, Chucky, and more. That's what you get. 1-800-520-1067. We'll start with Jacob in Covina. Jacob, we've had kind of a rough show today. We're counting on this segment to save it. What do you got for us?
Well, I work at a country club over in Covina.
Right.
And me and one of the couple of the buddies at work, every time we close, we go out in the back nine, and we just do 360s in the carts, drift them and everything.
I like it.
So the other day we were drifting them, going down a hill. My buddy's just rain, so it's all wet.
Right.
He's just spinning ridiculous, almost about to fall out of his car. And then he's still spinning. When he gets halfway through his spin, he hits a patch of dirt. And the dirt, his tires went down into the kind of dirt, a little bit muddy right then.
Right.
He just rolled the cart down the hill three times.
Nice. Awesome. Nice.
Was he trying to avoid a cow? Because you really have your back up that way.
No, that was me.
That's right.
Yeah. Did you guys try and cover it up or blame somebody else or?
We went back to drove another car back down into the storage room.
I don't think we have time for the real time recap.
Brutal.
You don't ask a guy like that a follow up question, Kevin.
Okay,
come on, you know better.
Thanks
than that.
For the call. Appreciate it.
Exciting story.
All right, let's go to Steve in Garden Grove. Good morning, Steve.
Yo, what it do, Bean? Hey, I'm going to be heading up to Seattle on vacation. Well, actually on business, but I got about 4 or 5 days to kill up there. I was wondering if Bean could give me some hot tips on some places that are rather a little bit unusual.
You mean like some of their great museums?
Unique to Seattle?
Mariners and stuff, but...
Yeah, right. Here's what I tell people. I get asked this question a lot of times. People will email me and they've got business up there. And I tell them that Seattle is closed, that no more people are allowed in. I'm sorry. It's not open for business anymore.
He's already coming there.
Yeah.
How's that going to help?
It's a done deal.
Cancel that. I'm saying cancel that because they're not going to let you in. The place is it's closed. It's locked down tighter than a drum. You can't even get in. Don't even bother.
I'll tell you what we'll do, Steve, is we'll give you Bean's address. Just hold on.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know. Bean likes to entertain our listeners when they're up in the great Northwest.
Hey, you're Bean, yes! High five!
Yeah, come on in. He'll make you pancakes, and they'll sit there, and you can play Christmas music. It's a good time.
I can tell you, Steve, all day long about the Norwegian Heritage Museum. I'll tell you that in Ballard. I got all the details you need on that.
Thanks for the call. Johnny in La Puente. Good morning.
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
What it do?
Hello, Lisa May.
Hi, Johnny.
What's going on?
Just wanted to thank you guys for jinxing the Lakers once again.
Oh, it's our fault. We didn't talk to any Lakers. How did we jinx them?
James Worthy.
Did talk to
doesn't,
big game.
Yeah, James Worthy doesn't play anymore, you know.
One time was a Laker.
Come on.
He used to, but he didn't play.
Still.
He had nothing to do with the game.
Come on.
I heard they went back in time and took away their championship game.
He won
rings
three championships with them.
Yeah.
That's not how it works. It has to be somebody who actually plays. I mean, if you want to give us Paul Tracy with the Long Beach Grand Prix, okay, maybe we get a little bit of that. Maybe the kid from Heroes who got killed on Monday night, maybe that's a little bit our fault. We had nothing to do with the Lakers last night, dude.
He played at one time with the Lakers.
Yes, right. He did.
It's a tangential connection. He's absolutely right.
We can't jinx USC football for talking to Petros.
Yes, I mean, exactly.
Yes, we can.
Did they
win
the championship this year?
Good call.
No.
Because you talked to Petros.
That's on us, too.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to Greg in Long Beach. Good morning, Greg. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What it do?
What it do, nephew?
What's going on?
Hey, so this weekend, one of my brother's friends, he's 17, I'm 23. One of my brother's friends tried to drive her away drunk from this party, flipping drunk.
And, yeah.
And so I went, and as he was driving away, put my elbow through his window and took the keys out of the ignition.
Nice.
So
took
then
his,
I spent
you took his car down.
Yeah, I took his car down.
Way to be, RoboCop.
And what did he do? Was he happy with that?
No, he was pretty unhappy. In fact, he pressed charges against me for assault and battery, and I spent the night in jail.
No kidding.
That douchebag.
That'll teach you, man, to try to save someone's life.
Good guy. Nice man. Thanks for the call. Let's go.
There's more to that story than he's telling us, by the way. You don't get charged with assault and battery just for reaching in and taking a guy's keys away or something.
Well, did you break the window?
Yeah, he said he broke it with his elbow.
He broke the window beam.
Yeah. Oh, I thought he put his arm through the window.
No.
I didn't realize he'd broken
the
glass.
It, yeah.
Okay. Well, he did the right thing anyway.
He still did the right thing.
Assault battery on the glass. All right, let's go to Rob, who's going to close things out big style. Rob at Anaheim, good morning.
How's it going?
What'd it do, my friend?
Hey, well, I have a girlfriend, and she just got a new job, and it took her 2 weeks to finally tell me what her new job is, and, well, she's a stripper.
All right.
How about that?
She's been stripping for 2 weeks, and she didn't tell you?
Well, yeah. I mean, she didn't want me to get all jealous and flip out.
Right, but she took the job, right? I mean, at some point, you're going to find out.
Well, of course.
Well, girl's got to make a buck.
So, are you angry? Did you flip out?
I didn't take it really good, but at the same time, no, I didn't, like, flip out.
Why didn't you take it well?
He flipped out.
Well, because she's going to be grinding on other guys, and that's kind of awkward.
Oh, stop it.
Stephen's home to you. They don't grind on guys.
No, they don't.
Not really. They don't.
Unfortunately, not in California anymore. But what about all that money she's making, dude? That sounds like a good deal, right?
Well, yeah.
And you get to say...
to a vacation.
You get to say, yeah, I'm banging a stripper these days.
Huh?
Oh, never mind.
It's wasted on you. Completely wasted on you.
Strippers are people, too.
Yep.
Naked people who may be willing to pleasure you for a price you negotiate later behind the curtain at a VIP room.
Yeah, right.
Besides, there's no need to kill them, because most of them are already dead inside.
Well, God bless them.
Fortunately, there
is
that.
Supposed to make us feel better?
Yes.
All right.
That might be a good phone topic one day, Ralph, and I know you covered it back in the Sex U days, but there are a million different ways that people react to having a stripper in the family, aren't there?
There are. I don't get it.
There's only one way they should. Party.
Exactly.
That's right.
Right?
That's a score. I want to thank all of our guests on the Kevin and Bean Show today, including Matt Dumphy. He is the creator of the website called theninhotline.net. Philadelphia boy running a website devoted to all things Trent Reznor. If you want to check that out, you might enjoy it. Also, thanks to Jean-Sebastien Jaguer for joining us today. There's no curse here. We've been nothing but good luck to Jiggy. And, of course, he kicks off round two of the Stanley Cup playoffs. That'll be tonight at the Honda Center against Vancouver. Game time, 7 o'clock. So, go Ducks.
People have been calling us at home. They run into us at the store. They say, when are you guys going to have Captain Sig on the show? And we say tomorrow. Captain Sig, Captain Edgar Hansen of the Northwestern from The Deadliest Catch on Discovery.
I mean, it's humiliating to me as a fisherman.
I think it's going to be great.
You know, people is a yar ship, I'll tell you that much.
Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
I know you don't watch this show, Kevin.
I don't.
And you just think it's about guys, like, sitting out on the deck, you know, throwing the line out there and reeling in a fish. It is brutal, brutal work that these guys do.
Yeah,
the most dangerous occupation in the world.
Yeah.
Last weekend, dude was out there trying to haul up a giant cage with some crab in it, and the water had splashed all over the boat, and it was, I don't know, 15 degrees or something like that, with a chill factor of, I don't know, minus 10. And the rigging had all iced up, and a hunk of ice 50 pounds dropped off the rigging and landed square on his back in between his shoulder blades, knocked him to the deck.
My God.
He was 4 inches away from it hitting his skull, would have killed him.
He was okay, though?
He got back up and started pulling more line.
Dude, that's a bad job.
It's the deadliest job in the world.
Well, don't do it.
Well, how are you going to eat crab?
There's not a, I don't think there's a single crew that I've ever seen of the show that hasn't lost at least one or two guys. I mean, literally, they go out at the beginning of the season and they don't come back. They're gone. They're dead. That's how deadly it is.
Good times.
That's how deadly it is.
Also, tomorrow we have Roseanne Barr.
It's not a safe job.
It isn't.
This is what we're
saying. Roseanne Barr.
There is
back.
An occupational hazard, Kevin, to doing that kind of work. That's what we're trying to tell you.
Safety is not a priority on these ships.
Roseanne Barr tomorrow. Did you guys hear that name?
Yeah.
There are so many other jobs you could do with less likelihood of injury. That's the point we're trying to make here.
Tori Amos will be here performing live tomorrow. New CD is out called American Doll Posse.
Cool.
And Coachella tickets also tomorrow, plus more Ducks tickets.
Did you see who's going to be the next American Doll Posse last night?
I did.
That was great.
That's Pussycat. That's Pussycat.
Amber one, I think.
That's a different show.
Hey, are we sending Dave out? Is he going to, I guess made like $40 or something like that toward his $90 that he owes you. Is he going back out tomorrow?
90 credits, and yes, he is.
Credits, of course. Yeah. Right. That's not right.
I'll get it.
What is wrong with you?
Did you have a stroke?
Are you okay?
That wasn't.
You've made more mistakes today than you made in the last 6 months.
What I'm saying is it's not a safe job. That's the point I'm trying to make. Cat Corbett's up next with 40 Minutes Nonstop K-Rock. Dashboard is new from Modest Mouse. Also, Linkin Park's In the End. We got that new song from Tiger Army for you. Muse, Papa Roach, and just for you, Lisa, Bush. Coming up on K-Rock.
There's an inherent risk to this occupation.
Is that what you're saying?
What we're saying. Oh.